Live from the International Agri Center in Tulare, California, it's the 52nd Annual World Ag Expo on 940 ESPN. Sponsored by E.M. Tharp, the transportation people, and Premier Valley Bank, local partners, limitless potential. And now, here is your host, Paul Leffler.
Well, good morning to you. What a beautiful day out here in Tulare, California. You drove down from Fresno like I did, just a breathtaking scene as you cruise down the 99. All those open fields, you know, once you get past Bravo Farms, and you just look to the east and the snow-capped peaks of the Sierra Nevada, just breathtaking, spectacular this morning. And if you have never been to the World Ag Expo, man, you are missing out on an experience. You can walk for miles over 2.5 million square feet of exhibition space here, over 1,500 exhibitors. You just heard it's the 52nd year, but this is something the Valley is so proud of, the largest annual agricultural exposition of its kind, the World Ag Expo, right here in Tulare. And we have some fantastic guests for you in store over the next 3 days. We'll be with you every day from 11 to 2. In just a little bit, former big leaguer Josh Lavandera, a Tulare County native, will join us later on. Troy Steiner, the Fresno State wrestling coach. We'll have the water polo coach, Natalie Benson. Just ran into former Bulldog quarterback Ryan Colburn here with his wife Alana and their three boys and a bunch of friends. They'll be joining us later. And we'll go through the guest lists throughout the 3 days. But right now we're joined on the phone from Washington, D.C., by a guy who calls Tulare home and always has. And I know he's very proud of his hometown and that Tulare is the home of the International Agri Center and the World Ag Expo. Congressman Devin Nunes joining us from D.C. Congressman, how are you this morning?
Hey, Paul, great to be with you. I'm sorry I'm not in Tulare at the World Ag Expo.
Well, I'm sure you've been just a few times. You're not old enough to have been to all 51 previous, but what has struck you about this event over the years? Why have you come back so many times, and what gives you pride of being this area's congressman to have this in your backyard?
Well, you know, I have not been to all 52 of the shows, but I will say I'm probably one of the few that remembers when the show originally was at the Tulare County Fairgrounds. So I did attend shows back in the day when they were at the fairgrounds, and then, of course, the first year that it was at the new grounds at the World Ag Expo, or International Ag Center, as I think it was originally called. So I've been to a lot of them, and of course I, throughout the year, do a lot of events there. And actually, it's one of the honors I have is when I'm on doing television shows or television hits. A lot of the times we film it from there at the Ag Museum, which is really a one of a kind in terms of it's an old tractor museum, so you can go there and see tractors from the turn of the century, actually.
Yeah, it's fascinating. There's so much history, and I know that's a lot of your history. You grew up in a dairy family. You still have family members doing that on a daily basis. How important is this event, for one, and the industry to our valley? I bet you get asked that a lot in Washington, D.C., and from people who aren't around ag or didn't grow up around it. How do you explain it? How do you explain how big of a deal this is and how vital it is to our valley and to our country?
Well, I don't think you can actually get a full understanding of the size and scope of the World Ag Expo unless you go, right? And there's really something for everyone, right? Even if you're not from agriculture, it's just a great time to go over there and see, you know, all the latest equipment down to, you know, the giant tractors and the new pickup trucks that are coming out. But even if you go through some of the tents to see some of the just interesting exhibitors that are there, like one of my favorite things to do is there's always like the latest in kitchen utensils that are there, you know, barbecues, and they typically have, and I don't know if they're doing it this year, but I'm assuming they are, but they have different seminars that you can attend on cooking, on, you know, the latest ways to the new, you know, crops that are coming out, ways that you can use local products. So there's just a lot to do there for, you know, for the family. Matter of fact, my kids are out there running around somewhere now. So if you see them running by, they're three little girls. They're out there somewhere.
Well, I will. I'll keep an eye out for them. And, you know, that's something new this year. They have a one-day conference aimed at young women interested in careers in agriculture. They're calling that Grow by Farm Her. And I'm looking forward to getting a taste of that and hearing what they're talking about. And I bet you want a taste of one of those tri-tip sandwiches. I bet you asked your daughters to bring one back, and you can probably smell it over the phone all the way from D.C. Am I right?
Well, even better than that. So one of the schools my children go to, Sundale School, and they have a booth out there. So actually my wife was out there all day on Sunday cutting up the meat, and she had been out there before getting the booth ready. So I'm not picking any specific school over another. I'm just saying that Sundale has really great steak sandwiches and beans and the whole works. So.
Well, I will make sure I find that Sundale booth before I leave. I've got 3 days here, so I'm sure I'm going to come across it. We're talking to Devin Nunes, congressman from Tulare. We're in Tulare, the International Agri Center and the World Ag Expo. We're going to have many Fresno State-related guests throughout the week. And, Devin, I know you're a Cal Poly Mustang, but I've seen you at a lot of Bulldog games wearing your red. How do you understand, explain, articulate the importance of Fresno State, not just to the ag sector, but to the valley as a whole? And what do you enjoy about being around Fresno State, its administrators, and maybe most of all its athletic programs?
Well, as you probably know, I'm a huge Bulldog sports fan. I've obviously growing up in the valley, it's really the heart of the valley. Fresno State University is the heart of the valley. It's just the center. It's the center for sports. It's the center for our, one of the best ag programs in the country, specifically probably the leading university for viticulture and winemakers. A lot of the best winemakers in the state come from Fresno State. But in particular, and I think you know this, it's probably no secret to you, Paul, but I'm a huge Fresno State basketball fan. So basketball was always a sport that I enjoyed the most. But I grew up in the Boyd Grant era. I remember going to Grant's Tomb, as it was called back in the day. I don't know if you remember that, but the Celland Arena. And attended a lot of those, a lot of those games, and watched all the games on television. And I'm really excited about this year's team, which was really not expected to do much, but I think they're just exceptional. I don't know that they'll be good enough to make the NCAA tournament, but I think for sure they can make the NIT tournament. And back in those days, we were really excited if Fresno State basketball made the NIT, and of course, 1 year we won the NIT championship. So I'm glad that Fresno State basketball is back on the map. Obviously, football has been doing, other than that 1 year where we had a little trouble, Fresno State football has been on a tear for many, many decades now. But I'm most excited about the Fresno State basketball, men's basketball team, really getting back into it, because I'd like to see that. I like to see the Save Mart Center packed again. I mean, that's the way it used to be, and we should support our local university, and I think the better that they are, and I think the more people get used to going to the games, I think the more people that the more excitement that it generates. And also it makes it easier for recruitment for the coaching staff. So, we can get into the you cover all the games, so you know it better than I do, but they're just a great team to watch.
It has been a lot of fun this year, and they're an underdog, but they play together. They have fun when they play. They're really well coached and make so many incredible adjustments during the game. And they might need to do that tomorrow night because they host Boise State at 7:30 at the Save Mart Center. And that makes me wonder, especially that rivalry with Boise State and what we saw in football this year. When you're there in Washington, D.C., and you're around so many of your colleagues, and on both sides of the aisle, maybe you guys are duking it out on immigration or the budget or a major issue, but I'm sure you talk sports. So how often does Fresno State come up, and had you had anything fun come your way from another representative that you won in a friend?
So you cut out a little bit there, Paul. Am I still on the line? Okay.
I'm sorry, Devin. Yeah, I was asking if I don't want to get you in trouble, but
no,
I was asking if you've ever gotten anything in a friendly wager with another congressman.
Yeah, it's actually funny that you asked that and you bring up Boise State. So one of my closest friends and allies, a strong advocate for California water, is one of two congressmen from the state of Idaho. His name is Mike Simpson. And, of course, Boise, as you know, has just had a phenomenal football team for many years. And Fresno State's had a rough time winning on the blue field. And so we go back and forth. And, you know, Boise's won more games against Fresno than we have. But this year, obviously, with the big win at the end of the year that propelled Fresno State into the bowl game, that was just spectacular. And but Mike Simpson's pretty funny because he said that Mike Simpson, who's the representative from Idaho, called me and said, "You actually did not win on the blue field," because he said the only reason Fresno State won is because it was on a white field. So we go back and forth on that all the time.
Well, good. I know you need to keep things lighthearted because they can get so serious in Washington, D.C. And speaking of, before we let you go, are there some big issues you see coming around the corner, specifically with regard to ag? Because I know you care about that. The rest of the Valley delegation does. We'll have your colleague from the other side of the aisle, Jim Costa, on in a couple days to give his perspective. But what are the big ag issues that you see from a congressional perspective coming around the corner?
Well, the two big issues that are out there now that are being worked on as we speak, one is President Trump last year issued a memorandum to his agency saying that they needed to redo, reevaluate the biological opinions on the delta, on the delta, the San Joaquin Delta, San Joaquin-Sacramento Delta, which is where a lot of the water flows from the state of California, from the Sierra Nevadas, into that delta, and there's two large pumping stations that move that water to the south. Over the last three decades, we have continually seen those pumping stations dialed down, all in the name of species protection. He ordered a new look at those biological opinions. The Interior Department came out with some very favorable conclusions here in the last week. So we're looking forward to Commerce, the Commerce Department now, following up with those two, because it's going to take the Commerce Department and the Interior Department together in order to make a final ruling, which we expect to come in August. Assuming that Commerce doesn't do any damage here compared to the Interior Department, if they go along closely along with the Interior Department, we're going to look at the first major increase in water delivery to the valley since the 1960s. So that would be a major accomplishment. It's something that myself and David Valadao worked on for many, many years, and thankfully the Trump administration finally took this up and ran with it and could mean more water. Well, it will mean more water for the valley, for a significant amount of water for the valley. As it relates to the other big issue that we have now is the immigration issue that everybody is talking about because it's in the news, and so a lot of the talk is about the wall. However, it seems like there may be some makings of an agreement here, but what I'd really like to see is not just security for the wall and dealing with the criminals that are in this country, but what we really need is we need a permit system, some type of permit system for both agriculture and high-tech or highly skilled workers, so people that might have from other countries that have a PhD in certain areas where we need specific help in those areas. A permit system would go a long way. I would like to see us work towards that end. It remains to be seen if we can get there, but I believe that the president has put out a very ambitious goal of supporting a new immigration program that would deal with agriculture, would deal with high tech, and would also deal with young people who were brought from another country to this country by no fault of their own, but now they're here with no way really to return to their home country. So those are the types of things that that are both big to agriculture. It probably doesn't get any bigger than water and labor and the people that work in the fields.
And thanks for the update, and we'll keep our eyes open, and I know you'll keep us posted. And thanks so much for
sounds good,
Coach
Paul.
Troy
I appreciate
Snyder walking up, and we have.
we'll have
well,
fun.
Let me
there.
Throw one more at you if you can still hear me.
Oh, Oh, yeah, go ahead.
I'm sorry. We're miles and miles away. We've got a little delay there. But my last question, since you talked about Boyd Grant's tomb and the 83 NIT team and the NCAA teams before and after it, I want to ask you to pick a favorite player on this year's Fresno State basketball team. But what about the Boyd Grant era? As a guy growing up in Tulare, a Bulldog fan, who was your favorite Bulldog basketball player then?
So currently, right now, the guy that I think is just really an impressive basketball player that has just a lot of skill for a big guy, and that's Grimes. I know he didn't play a lot the last couple years. I'm not sure exactly why, but he just reminds me, he's a throwback to kind of your old traditional big man that knows how to play in the paint. And I've just been really impressed with his skills. So I don't know him personally, but just watching him play, I just think he's a really sound, fundamental ball player, and he's fun to watch. If you go back to the Boyd Grant era, the guy that I liked is probably not a guy that a lot of people remember, but there was two guys, actually, that weren't like the guys that were really well-known on those teams. But one was a guy named Thompson, who was kind of a big guy. I always thought he was a great ball player, and also a guy named Mitch Arnold. So those two were kind of the guys that I believe they were both on that 83 NIT team, as I recall.
They were, Bernard Thompson and Mitch Arnold. Yeah, some all-time greats, and maybe you should come play some pickup ball with us one of these days. But Congressman Nunes, thanks so much for taking time for us, and stay safe out there in D.C.
All right, Paul. Thanks a lot for having me. Enjoy the time out there.
All right, that is Devin Nunes, Tulare's own. We're in Tulare at the World Ag Expo, bringing you the green. Get out here. It's a little cool right now, but we're staying cozy. There is so much food. There is so much to see. There is so much to experience at the World Ag Expo. And we'll be back with former big leaguer, former Bulldog, and a world champion, Josh Lavendera.
The 52nd Annual World Ag Expo, presented by E.M. Tharp, the transportation people, and Premier Valley Bank. Local partners, limitless potential. Continues on 940 ESPN. Once again, here's Paul Leffler.
Among the 106,000 people who visited Tulare for the World Ag Expo. And I'm joined by a guy who grew up in this neck of the woods. In fact, his dad's booth is, I bet he could throw a ball across the infield and hit his dad's booth. And he did that a lot in a Bulldog uniform for Coach Bob Bennett back in the early 2000s. All-American, major leaguer, now a professional scout. Josh Lavendera joins us. Labby, what are your earliest World Ag Expo memories? What do you remember about this place growing up?
Man, Joey Arosa, we used to be part of the Holstein Association, and we had a big sale of registered Holsteins here. And I remember being a young kid, way back before the Dairy Pavilion was built. It was just these massive tents and just cows everywhere, you know, and they'd be auctioning them off. And it was a huge event for the Holstein Association. It was just you know, like you said, man, this is a worldwide deal. It's extravagant. It's massive. It's huge. And I just remember it being big.
You said cows everywhere. I mean, isn't that your life for as long as you can remember it? Didn't you grow up around cows?
Yep. I grew up, man, probably maybe 10, 15 minutes from here, east of here in Porterville. I grew up on a dairy off of 152, and we lived there till I was 17. We moved to town, and just grew up. I grew up showing cows. I was in 4-H. I spent a lot of time in Tulare. Tulare was kind of like home, really. This is where my dad's family was from. Tulare is just a really, it's home for the most part. So,
well, you talk about growing up on a dairy, showing cows, and all of that. Do you see a parallel with what that taught you, what you developed from that life, to the discipline it took for you to become a Major League Baseball player?
You know, I look at that a lot now when I go in and I talk to these kids and try to figure out some of the things they do away from the game that may correlate or transition into carrying over into making them who they are. And I most definitely think showing cows, being competitive, waking up early, having responsibility, and God, my dad put a lot of responsibility on me because, I had a younger sister as well, and she showed. So, as early mornings, the fairs were always really tough, but, man, it was a grind. It was a lot like playing pro ball. I mean, just tough.
Well, I figured if we're going to be at the World Ag Expo, I mean, it made sense to have you because you're a Bulldog and you're from Tulare County and you've been here so much. But, I mean, if you're at the World Ag Expo, how often can you have an actual expo on the air? And you're one of the last guys left who played for the Montreal Expos. Do you ever get some funny looks when you tell people or you show them your old baseball card with that expo logo?
It's funny. I talk to the kids now, and they ask, playing experience and stuff. So I played for the Expos, and I get a lot of second looks Expos, and then I have to say, it's the Nationals. The club left, and, 04 was the last year. And who knows, man? I might be a trivial pursuit question. I think I was the last player ever called up by the Expos. It is kind of interesting now that you say that.
Well, and we just talked about how ag, and specifically the dairy industry, has been a big part of your life. But the Bulldogs have been a big part of your life. Mm-hmm. How different would your life be right now if you had not gone to Fresno State?
I think about that all the time. Just in the terms of comparing today's player to back then, with showcases, I might have gone to a showcase and been lured in a different direction. But from a very young age, man, I strapped the Bulldog hat on, and I mean, 11 years old, I had a blue Bulldog hat. I wore till it was brown. And everybody that saw me at the fairs probably remembers that blue Bulldog hat, and I told everybody I was going to be a Bulldog. And it was, everybody's paths are different. COS was an awesome route. Grew up a little bit, but going to Fresno State was special. Playing for Coach Bennett, Coach Purse, Rupsich. It was a special staff, and they really turned guys into men. You might not have been a prospect when you got there, but when you left, you knew how to play the game. You knew how to have work ethic. You knew how to be responsible. You knew how to be a good person. God, I met my wife.
I was wondering when you're going to get to that. We're talking to Josh Labandera, by the way, former Bulldog All-American, a major leaguer, now a major league scout with the world champion Boston Red Sox. Your wife was an All-American and a national champion before you ever set foot on campus at Fresno State. How did you and Becky meet?
We met. Opened the door for class one morning, and she said, "Thank you, Josh." And I said, "You're welcome, Rebecca." And I always thought she was she was kind of cute. And then I went and watched her play, and it was she was phenomenal. She could run, she could slap hit. Her hand-eye coordination was really good. And she was a fearless defender. She played with passion, and I admired that from a playing perspective. And she's been everything. So.
Oh, it's Valentine's Day this week.
My daughter's birthday this week.
Oh, yeah, when?
She's Valentine's Day baby.
Oh, wow.
Valentine's Day baby, Tegan. So we got a busy week with the NCAA's opening up, and I got my daughter's ninth birthday, and Valentine's Day, I have to treat the wife. And things are going to get a little bit more hectic, but, God, no other place I'd rather be than at the Tulare, California Farm Equipment Show this week.
There you go. 52nd World Ag Expo. Former Bulldog Josh Labandera with us. And I can't let you go without asking you about this year's Diamond Dog team because you're a scout. You're in the business of evaluating talent. I won't ask you to comment on any specific guys and how they rate as a prospect, but you've seen this team. You saw them last year. You know the guys that are back that are older, including a couple seniors, which are rare in college baseball to have seniors of that level of ability. What's your expectation? What are you looking forward to when the Diamond Dogs open Friday night at 6:05 at home against Utah Valley?
Man, I'm very excited to see this year's group. I think they've got a pretty solid rotation when it gets set. The arms are going to run out there. They've got a kid with a big arm that's probably going to start off the opening weekend that's going to be bumping some triple digits, I would imagine, at some point in the season, and he'll be one to watch. And he's throwing to, you know, in my opinion, one of the best catchers on the West Coast, and Carter Benz, who we're anticipating to have a solid season and then go out and be another Bulldog that gets out in pro ball and makes his mark. JT Arruda up the middle, and you got Ashford in center field. I think they're going to be fun. Nico Mitchell step in. Davis Moore will be back. I mean, it's a really cool a team that you know, hopefully people can come out and watch. Not every day you get to go to a collegiate game and see a kid throwing 100 miles an hour.
Yeah.
And you've got some kids that are going to, you know, fit in nicely somewhere in the middle of the draft somewhere, day two. That 3-10 range, I think that there's going to be some good players that get to come out of there from Fresno State that always puts out, in my opinion, very quality professional players. One of the best players in the game is a Bulldog, Aaron Judge. Jordan Luplo has been phenomenal.
Yeah.
Expect Ricky Tyler Thomas to maybe move quick if he can get some things rolling. So there's a lot of Bulldogs out there that have done some special things and anticipate more in the future.
Another young man from the northern part of Tulare County is going to spring training, big league spring training with the Marlins. The big lefty, Dylan Lee. So a lot of guys to follow. Always fun to follow you, Labby, and to catch up with you. I do have to ask before I let you go, since you work for the world champion Boston Red Sox, do they give you a ring?
A matter of fact, somehow I'm going to snake a nice ring out of this deal. I'm very privileged, to be honest, to work for an organization like Boston. They value the scouts. They're very good to us. And just from top to bottom, you show up and it's a class act organization from top to bottom. The best one I've been affiliated with since I've started playing baseball. So it's going to be very exciting come April when I get to put on the big boy and kind of strut it around like I actually did something, you know. But
well, once you get it, come on by Pete Biden Field at Bob Bennett Stadium and you can show it off a little bit.
Absolutely.
Well, Josh Labandera has been with us. Up next, Troy Steiner from the Bulldog Wrestling Team. He's the head coach. Later on, we'll hear from a former wrestler who's an exhibitor here at the World Ag Expo in Tulare. We're with you till 2 o'clock. Labby, thanks a lot.
Thanks. Thanks, Paul.
We're back after this on the home of the Bulldogs, 940 ESPN.
The 52nd Annual World Ag Expo, presented by E.M. Tharp, the Transportation People, and Premier Valley Bank. Local partners, limitless potential. Continues on 940 ESPN. Once again, here's Paul Leffler.
Tulare, California. So many people to say hello to out here. This is where everybody who has anything to do with the world of ag is hanging out over the next 3 days. And it also is going to be the home to a lot of special guests from Bulldog Land. And I don't know if you've been paying attention this year, but Fresno State Wrestling has had a special campaign. Some big wins, a couple recent wins over ranked teams. Troy Steiner joining us now. He's the head coach of the Bulldogs. They're 9-7 in duels this week. They have an above 500 record in the Big 12 Conference at 4-3. They've won 4 of their last 5 matches, showing some real improvement. But I got to start with you, Troy, on the World Ag Expo. First time here?
Yes, it's my first time, and it's overwhelming, I'll tell you that much.
What's impressed you so far? I know you haven't been here all that long, but you've probably seen a couple things.
It's amazing how much there is in the world of ag. You know, you don't realize when you're not in that area or that arena that, you know, what it takes to be in this business. Yeah.
Are you telling me that you grew up in North Dakota and went to college in Iowa and you weren't saturated with the ag world?
Well, you know what? We grew up outside of town in Bismarck, North Dakota, and it was definitely ranch land and farmland, but and we had horses and made hay, and we were around the egg industry some, but not to this extent, you know.
Well, the technology has changed in the last 30, 40 years.
You know, I remember pulling a lot of weeds, but I didn't need any of this equipment.
I'm sure there are a few booths that have something for the weeds around here, too. Well, you have been cultivating some real talent in this Bulldog Wrestling program, and you guys are coming down the home stretch. You have a home duel Sunday against the Oklahoma Sooners. That'll be Salute to Service Sunday, 2 o'clock, Fresno State against Oklahoma. For someone who hasn't been to a Bulldog Wrestling match yet this year, what do you think they're going to see if they show up at the Save Mark Center Sunday?
Tell you what, Oklahoma, you know, they come in, they're a strong, you know, perennial power in this sport, And they're coming in with a strong team. They had a nice win last week over Edinburgh. You know, they won 31-6, so they're coming in with some steam behind them. And really, this is one of the last matches before we go into the Big 12. So everyone's looking to have some momentum going into the Big 12 championship. So they're going to come in, and you know, it's going to be a fight, and there's going to be some real contested matches. You know, I think quite a few swing matches, you know, if you got to win those close ones to win a duel meet like this. And so it's going to be a very contested duel, and, you know, the more people we can get there to cheer us on and get our guys going, it helps.
Well, that's what was my question. I think some people assume that, you know, wrestling might be a sport where there isn't a huge home court advantage because, you know, in team sports, you've got to move the ball around. It takes guys working together, and maybe the crowd fuels that, or the crowd can inhibit communication for the other team. When it's a one-on-one sport, even though it's a team score, but a one-on-one sport, how do you see that crowd really affecting the match?
Well, you know, they feed off the energy of the crowd, a lot of it. And you know, our guys this year have wrestled very well at home for the most part. Even early on, we took some losses, but they wrestled pretty well for the lineups we had in, and they wrestled well. And you just feed out the crowd, you know, and you don't realize it at the time. But, you know, I think when we have a good crowd there, our guys are up a notch, and maybe it takes the other team down a notch. But it definitely helps to have people there, and you know, the more people we can have there, the better.
Well, it helps to have talented wrestling and to be coaching in an area where talented wrestlers seem to grow, like all the crops these folks are here talking about at the World Ag Expo. And you have some real talented local young men on your roster that right now are in the national rankings. I look at A.J. Nevels and Christian Olivas and Josh Hokett. I'm sure everybody wants me to ask you about Hokett. But let's talk about some of the other guys first. How much improvement have you seen from last year to this year, and what do you think is the big difference?
Well, there's been tremendous improvement, and I think a big part of it is the staff that's in place that I have in place. Those guys do a wonderful job. You know, it changes a little bit for me coming into the head role. You know, I'm not in the trenches as much with these guys, and the staff that I have is really kind of set the expectation for these athletes and really help to work with them in a lot of different areas. And you can see improvement every time we've stepped out there, I feel. You know, we've maybe had some down performances time to time, just mentally not getting ourselves ready. But overall, our trajectory is going in the right direction, and I have to credit my staff for it. And then the kids come willing to work, and they come with a purpose and a focus when they walk into practice, and that helps.
You know what it feels like to be an All-American. You were not just an All-American, but an NCAA champion at Iowa, both as an individual and as part of a championship team. Is this the year Fresno State gets its next All-American? And what would that mean to you in the big picture and the development of this program to have guys that could put that title, All-American, next to their name?
Well, you know, I think we do have the capability to put a couple guys on the stand this year. And, you know, it's all going to come down to, you know, you got to take one match at a time, and you can't look ahead. And I think, you know, we look at our few matches the last month or so. We've wrestled very well on some of them. Came out and wrestled the type of match that I like to see, a very aggressive, trying to put points on the board. And we've had a couple where I didn't like the focus and the intensity that I saw. And one was last week against Bakersfield, and I'm not taking anything away against Bakersfield, because they came out ready to fight, and they took us down. And but the biggest thing is you have to be ready every time you step out there, because at this level, there is no easy match. You know, it's going to be a fight right away, and it's going to be a grind, and you might break through and end up winning a match by, you know, a big decision, but it's going to be a fight right away. And as long as we have that focus and take one match at a time, I think we got, you know, some guys that can definitely get on the award stand at the NCAA tournament. But we got a lot of matches to go before we get there, so we can't look ahead.
Sorry for making you look ahead. But I know that gets people excited. And one of those guys who has a chance to be an All-American this year is Josh Hokett, who came right over from the football team and was on the mat just a matter of days later and wrestling like an All-American. How hard is that to do? And did he do that a little differently this year? Is that part of the reason he's having so much success?
Well, I think he came in this year more prepared mentally for the transition. And physically he looked like he was more prepared as well. But I think last year when he came in, he stepped in the lineup and right away gets a pin and thinking, oh, this is going to be easy. I'm going to throw these guys around. Well, then we went out to the Virginia Duels, and I think he went 1-for-5. You know, he took a few losses out there and really kind of hit him. And then he kind of struggled through and then was kind of coming on in late February and heading into the Big 12s, but just fell short of making the NCAA tournament. This year he came in. He knew what the opposition was going to be about, and he came in more prepared to deal with it and ready for the fight. And right now he's, I think, 19-3, you know, wrestling well.
Yeah, ranked as high as 13th in the country last I checked. Josh Hokett, one of several nationally ranked Bulldogs on the wrestling team. That wrestling team home Sunday against Oklahoma, the Mighty Sooners, in the Save Mart Center Sunday, 2 o'clock. You can get those tickets at GoBulldogs.com. Be there to salute our veterans as well. They'll be honored on Sunday. But we have more with Coach Troy Steiner from Fresno State Wrestling.
The 52nd Annual World Ag Expo, presented by E.M. Tharp, the Transportation People, and Premier Valley Bank. Local partners, limitless potential. Continues on 940 ESPN. Once again, here's Paul Leffler.
Ag Expo, 52nd year that the world of agriculture converges on Tulare. More than 1,500 exhibitors. If they've calculated the volume of tri-tip that will be consumed over these 3 days, but I'm hoping to contribute to that tally. We're joined by Troy Steiner, head coach of the Fresno State wrestling team. The Bulldogs having a real standout season. Recently, they've defeated 11th-ranked Wyoming, 24th-ranked Utah Valley. They'll try to win another Big 12 dual match Sunday against Oklahoma. That's 2 o'clock at the Save Mart Center. And you're really kind of zeroing in, Coach, on the Big 12 championships. That's right about the same time, just before the Mountain West tournament for basketball. You guys have to head out to Tulsa, Oklahoma. How pivotal, how important, how crucial in terms of evaluating the success of your season is that Big 12 tournament for you?
Well, you know, we're measured by how we do at the end of the year, you know, like most sports are. And we're measured by how many guys we can get through the Big 12 and how many guys we can get onto the NCAA tournament, which is what it's all about. And so we're definitely, you know, we got one match here left with Oklahoma on Sunday, and then we got about three weeks going in there.
Well, when you talk Big 12, the first team everybody wants to talk about is Oklahoma State. I think they're currently number 2 in the country. Mm-hmm. Is that right? So, I mean, that means at every weight class they have a guy who's ranked somewhere pretty high. Is that something where you've seen some teams might get intimidated by going up against a squad like that, but others it brings out the best in them because they know they're going to get noticed if they can take that guy down?
Yeah, I think each guy is different, and I think you just have to worry, you know, what we trend to focus or what I like our guys to focus on is themselves and what they can do in that match to be successful. And don't worry about the other guys so much or what he's ranked. The rankings and all of that is not, that's for the fans. And that doesn't mean anything when you step on the mat. It's 0-0 when you step on the mat. So the rankings and the seating and all that is, it's for the fans to, and they, I told our guys, you can take part in that 5 years from now.
Right.
But right now, let's worry about what you can do. So you really got to focus on what you can do as an athlete, and stay where you're strong. You know, and if you do that, you're going to give yourself the best chance to succeed and accomplish the goals that you've set out to do.
A lot of goals in front of the Bulldog wrestling team. One more regular season duel. That's at home Sunday at 2 against Oklahoma. Then on to the Big 12 championships next month in Tulsa. And then on to the NCAA tournament. We have another 10 minutes or so with wrestling coach Troy Steiner here at the World Ag Expo in Tulare. So if you have a question for him, send it our way on Twitter with the hashtag AskAg. How about recruiting? You know, everybody said when wrestling was brought back, and one of the main reasons, one of the biggest, I think, compelling reasons to bring wrestling back was our location. We're in the valley. I mean, that's why we're in Tulare, because this is the best place in the world to grow stuff for us to eat. The valley is also the best place to find college wrestlers. If you look from Bakersfield up to Sacramento and you see the powerhouses in Clovis and Selma and Porterville and all these great high school wrestling teams. So when you go into recruiting, how do you break that down? How do you decide, well, do I take a Valley kid who I can develop into an All-American or a kid from out of state who probably is an All-American right now? Are those tough decisions for you?
You know, I don't think that any kid coming in out of high school is a definite All-American. You know, there's very few that are going to think. They may think they are. They're going to step into it and jump right in, but they're going to have to go through a transition. And but in the valley here, we're so fortunate to be in this valley where wrestling is so strong. It's so much a part of the culture here. And, you know, we're going to build this program at Fresno State with California kids and with most of them coming probably from the valley. And we're fortunate to be able to do it. I know my first year here I was, you know, looking, starting recruiting, and I'm looking at guys out of state, and then I'm looking at a guy 30 miles down the road or a neighbor next door and thinking, why am I I don't think the kid's any better than this kid right down the street. You know, so we're very fortunate. And the guys that we have, if you look at our squad right now, you know, I think we have three guys from out of the state. You know, and it's going to be that way. I think you look at any top program in the country, you're going to build from within. And we want that anyway for our fan support and just to build a program that's sustainable, you know.
Well, and you have a young man sitting out right now who's a four-time state champion who's going to wrestle for you next year. You have these other guys nationally ranked right now. I mentioned Josh Hokett, A.J. Nevels, Christian Olivas, all right out of Clovis. If you start getting the best of the best consistently, if the best wrestlers in the valley stay home and compete for Fresno State, where is the bar set? What is the potential of Fresno State wrestling in your eyes? I'm sure you wouldn't be here if you didn't see some serious potential. So how do you define or explain or maybe even sell that to potential Bulldogs when you go out and recruiting?
Well, we're shooting to win a championship, you know, a Big 12 championship, a national championship. Now, it doesn't happen overnight, but I think we're well on our way right now. The way we're performing right now and the way the guys are approaching the process each and every day, it's a matter of time until we reach some of those heights and some of the goals that we've set out in front of us. And the way these guys work, and that's one thing about this valley, people from this valley, they earn what they get, you know, and that these athletes are no different. They come from the same makeup. They know that nothing's going to be handed to them.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to have to work for it, and it's a really fun group to work with because of that, because they come in and work. And one of the guys that I'd like to bring up, and he's from Dinuba. He was the first guy to commit to us. Jacob Wright, he's in the lineup at 157.
Yeah.
He just jumped into the top 20 in the rankings this week, and he's going to be successful. And I don't know how high he can get. We'll see. But he's going to be successful because he comes to work every day. And it's not just putting his time in. He is busting his butt every time he steps on the mat or every time he steps in the weight room or every time we go to the track. He doesn't take a day off, you know, and he comes focused and ready to go. And you know at some point that he's going to break through. Now, he was never a state champion, but he was a multiple place winner and – but his success will come at a later time, you know, or will come now, you know, because you know a guy like that that works that hard and he's going to break through at some point, you know, and I know he will, and I have a lot of faith in him. But and he's made a huge jump now. I don't think anyone thought he'd be where he's at right now, but it doesn't surprise me because of what he does every day.
probably the only place where they knew he would is right over there in Dinuba. We're not too far from there here in Tulare at the World Ag Expo. Just a couple minutes left with Fresno State wrestling coach Troy Steiner, who, if you know his story, you know he has a twin brother, Terry, also an accomplished wrestler and wrestling coach. Do you guys ever play any tricks, whether it was wrestling or otherwise? Because you are identical twins, and you're about as identical as any identical twins I've ever met.
Yeah, we are. We're very, very, if I'd walk out of here and my brother would come and walk in, you probably wouldn't know the difference. You know, we definitely look a lot alike, and, you know, we've lived together, and we've been around each other for the most of our lives, and so we have definitely a lot in common, and everything we do it very much alike. So it's been great, you know, having him, and he's always a guy I can reach out to ask a question and get help from and use the resource, and I try to be there for him as well. So
no rivalry there?
It's awesome. But, you know, there's definitely some sibling rivalry, but we had a distinct advantage, you know, having someone that had this next to you that has the same goal as you, and so there were days where, you know, I didn't want to get up and work out, and he's like, I'm leaving. Well, there's no way I was going to sit there and lay in bed and, you know, and let him get an inch ahead of me, you know. So the days that he'd get me up, and I'd probably be cussing him out and shoes. So we pushed each other, and we picked each other up when we needed to. But, you know, we were so shy coming. We grew up in the country. We weren't around a lot of kids, but we were used to being a one-on-one battle with each other. But we knew we had siblings do, but with each other, pushing each other, we can accomplish some good things.
Well, I'm sure there are a lot of lessons and parallels there that your wrestlers could put to practice. Last thing for you, Coach, as we get ready to break and get ready for the top of the hour here. You've been in the Valley for a couple years recently, coaching up in Oregon at Oregon State. Now that you've been in the Valley a little bit, what do you love about this area that keeps you here? What have you appreciated the most?
I love the people here.
Live from the International Agri Center in Tulare, California, it's the 52nd Annual World Ag Expo on 940 ESPN. Sponsored by E.M. Tharp, the transportation people, and Premier Valley Bank, local partners, limitless potential. And now, here is your host, Paul Leffler.
How did we already go through an hour out here at the World Ag Expo? Hard to believe. The time just flies, especially when the sun comes out. Oh, it's nice and toasty now. Beautiful day in Tulare, the World Ag Expo, as we tell you about the green V behind the red wave. You remember when Pat Hill put that big green V on the helmet? It's actually right behind us here. You can't miss it if you come find us at the E.M. Tharp, Inc. Golden State Peterbilt booth. You'll also see some outstanding vintage Peterbilt trucks and some of the newer ones, and even your Bulldog born, Bulldog bred, no dogs down Fresno State equipment truck furnished by the Shannon brothers out of right here in Tulare. Another spot on the 99 that you go through if you're going up and down our valley would be Madera, and maybe you've seen that big billboard, and maybe you recognize these guys from the Midland Tractor billboard. But let's go way back. We got to talk some Bulldog wrestling. We just had Troy Steiner, their Bulldog wrestling coach, on. They'll host Oklahoma Sunday at 2 o'clock. So, Don Nelson, what years did you wrestle for Fresno State?
63, 4, and 5.
And who is your coach?
Max Kimmerly first, and then... I can't.
That's all right. I wasn't around yet. I remember Coach DeLito, and I forget who was right before him.
Yes.
But what weight class were you?
177.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Is that something you'd always done growing up?
Through high school, yeah. And then Fresno State, at that time you could wrestle 5 years.
Yeah, if you went to junior college, you could do 3 years.
Yes, yes.
Except
yes.
That caught the baseball.
Today, there was some great wrestling way back then, too, but it's very high-level wrestling. Coach Steiner and his group are doing a wonderful job of recruiting and getting the guys to perform at a high level. Really good.
Was that a big deal to you as an alum and someone who stayed in the Valley and stayed connected with Bulldog Sports when President Castro and the athletic department brought wrestling back?
It's a very big thing, a bold thing, and I'm sure hard for them to do, but excited about it coming back, and especially for the young wrestlers in the valley here. There is such a hotbed for wrestling and so many wrestlers, and now they have someplace really close to home to be a part of, to show their stuff and perform. Yeah, it's good.
And I obviously never saw you wrestle for Fresno State, but I hear you're pretty good.
Well, somewhere in the middle, upper middle, but wonderful sport. Loved it, really liked it, and it was good. Still have lifelong friends from wrestling, and it was a great experience for me.
How many sons do you have?
Two sons. Stan here with us here at the show, and Steve is back at the dealership taking care of business there.
Well, I've got to ask you, Stan, did your dad ever teach us some wrestling moves? Did he make you and your brother wrestle each other? Or did he pin you down? What did he do?
Yeah, if you've met my brother, I could replay a story on why we got in an argument one time, and my dad gave me a stick because I needed a stick to have a chance with my brother. But we knew don't mess with Dad. He'll grab a hold of you and tell you that real quick.
Well, it's good to know the apple doesn't fall too far from the tree and that those traditions get passed on. And obviously in the family business, that's something that you've passed on. But how did that work from Fresno State wrestler to Midland Tractor in Madera? What did that pathway look like?
Well, I grew up on a ranch in Madera.
Mm-hmm.
And while I was going to Fresno State, majoring in agronomy and thinking I was going home to be on the ranch and be involved with that, my dad started selling off parcels of the property.
So
I took a job with a corporation, and I thought that I would be there for 2 or 3 years, and 12 years later I was still with FMC Corporation. During that time I was working with equipment dealers and calling on them and learned to like the lifestyle. So just ironically, an opportunity came up in Madera and with the John Deere line and a lot of other affiliated equipment lines for nut harvest.
Mm-hmm.
So I had a chance to buy into the dealership, and that's 40 years ago, and it's been a wonderful 40 years. Really enjoyed it.
And how long have you been coming here to Tulare to the World Ag Expo?
Probably about 45 years. When I was with FMC, we came here and came to the original Tulare farm grounds, and
yep.
On a day like tomorrow might be, where it's raining, there were pallets all over the place to walk on, and it was a mess. But they've done a wonderful job here laying things out to handle a lot of water. It's just perfect here today.
It is. It's gorgeous. And I think the best part about it is, I mean, even when you're in line to park, you start smelling the tri-tip. So
yes,
you don't want to
yes.
leave.
No,
right.
No.
You guys have any tips on the tri-tip for me? Is there a booth that you prefer over others?
I know Don's a big fan of the ribeye. About a week ahead of the show, he starts just priming the pump on that ribeye.
Okay. Yeah. I'll keep an eye out for that.
Yes.
Oh, that's good. Excellent. Yeah.
Stan, did you grow up thinking you'd be in the family business with Dad, or is that something you had to arrive at over time?
Yeah, good question. Probably an arrival. Wasn't against it, but never pressured or influenced in that way. But certainly been a good move, and as Don said, just a great industry to be in. It's so generational. It's not, your word is your bond, and I like that in this industry that still matters.
I got to ask you guys, and Don, I'll start with you, because Stan might still have been in school when this happened. We're here till 2 o'clock, by the way, talking Bulldogs, talking Ag, the green V behind the red wave. If you have a question for our guests now, Don and Stan Nelson of Midland Tractor, or any of the other guests we have today, use the hashtag AskAg. It's real simple, 5 letters, hashtag ASKAG on Twitter, and we'll pass those questions on. That green V that's behind us, when you first saw that go on Fresno State's helmet, did you know instantly what it meant? Did you have to figure it out? And how significant of a thing was that?
Well, from where I come from, you recognize right away the connection and the tie, and I think it was a brilliant idea, whoever did that in the first place, and it just looks like it's continued to strengthen right along. Yeah.
I think it has, and I'm wondering if you guys ever get the comments, because, you know, your business is here in the Valley, and you're servicing growers all up and down the state, maybe even out of state if they're looking for certain equipment. How often do you get comments about Fresno State, and in particular about that green V? Because it happens to me all over the country. Oh, they're the ones with the green V on the helmet, right? Do you guys ever get that?
Well, a lot of the our customers are Bulldog fans, of course, and go to the games, and a lot of conversations around the various sports and wrestling lately, and green V is part of that. Yeah, big part of that.
Yeah, big deal. I got a real thrill when, as Don said, whoever got that going implemented that. Just a great tie-in with this valley.
Pat Hill's going to be here tomorrow at our set here at the E.M. Tharp Incorporated booth on the northeast side of the World Ag Expo, and we'll let Coach Hill tell that story tomorrow about how the green V evolved. So you guys come every year. Now you have a booth here every year. You're one of the exhibitors. Is it the same every year, or do you have to have something new and bigger and special every year to get people's attention out here?
Actually, what we do here is call on and visit with our manufacturers, our suppliers that are all over the West Coast, a lot of them California. And then we use the opportunity to see what competition's up to and what they're doing. And also to look for unique and new ideas that our growers might be able to take advantage of. So we're on the move and covering the whole show.
Well, and you guys are wearing your logos, though. Don, you got that hat. I mean, that's a bright green and yellow that jumps off the hat at you, and it's on your vest. And, Stan, you've got it right on your jacket there. So it's not like you can be very stealthy when you're checking out the competition. No. Is there a little rivalry there from other tractor manufacturers?
Oh, there is for sure, but we'd rather be just up front and open and friendly competition. I'm sure all of them are doing the same thing here, and I don't think they mind too much that we check out what they're up to and what they're doing. So, yeah, been doing it now for 40 years and try and do it in good taste and work out well for everybody. Yeah.
Stan, you ever get any dirty looks?
No, it's been a while. Yeah, no, it's actually it's good fun and kind of like the business being generational. A lot of these people that are working for other vendors or other manufacturers, they've been in the game for a lot of years, so we all know one another. Yeah.
Well, one of the reasons, you know, they put that green V on the helmets and it stuck around is they wanted people to know that the Valley is run by agriculture. You know, this whole phenomenon now, my job depends on ag. People, it's kind of out of sight, out of mind. They don't realize how much we're connected to the industry. And you guys see that on a daily basis. But with regard to Fresno State, ag is a big driver behind what Fresno State does, a great ag school. So many of the graduates are going to end up in that field, and you deal with them all the time. So, Don, for you, as an alum, as a former student-athlete of Fresno State, now with a business in the Valley, how have you stayed connected with Fresno State Athletics, and what do you enjoy about staying connected with Bulldog Sports?
Well, we've gone to the football games, I guess, for the last 30 years that I've been back in town, 40 years back in town, and whether the team's really up and going and talking about football and baseball and other sports there, and now with wrestling, people ought to come out and see what they've done to the Save Mart Center to make an extremely effective and nice wrestling situation. They've curtained off about two-thirds of the Save Mart Center and made it just kind of like a little cozy little bowl at one end of it. It's really nice, and the wrestling's fun to watch. Very entertaining.
You going to be there Sunday against
Oklahoma?
Going to
be there Sunday, yes. Yes, that's going to be a big match. Yes.
You going to be wearing your Midland Tractor hat, Team Midland?
Or my Fresno State hat, I'm
all
not
right.
Sure. Yeah.
I just, you know, if somebody wanted to come say hi to you because they heard you on the radio,
oh,
I wanted them to find you.
Well, I'll do that.
All right. All right.
Yeah.
Well, guys, thanks so much for taking some time for us. Thanks for supporting Fresno State Athletics. Any other advice you have on folks coming to the farm show, the ag show here in Tulare, what we should look for?
Well, there's so much to look at. If you don't come early and stay for a long time and stay in the move, you don't see very much of it. So it's best to make a list of what you really want to see and find out where that is and just target that, or you'll get lost in the shuffle. So it's a beautiful day here today. People ought to be here with their rain predicted tomorrow and the next day.
So. Yeah, and they still have time to get here. And as far as navigating and finding everything like you're talking about, they do have a new app that you can do that right on your smartphone, so you can figure out where all the exhibitors are.
Oh, that's
are
nice to
that.
Know. I didn't know yeah. that. Yeah, that's good.
I'm not smart enough to figure it out, but I'm going to try. You know, when we're off the air, I might work on it a little bit. Don and Stan Nelson, thanks so much for joining us. Well, I'll wave at your billboard next time I'm driving north on the 99. We'll be back from Tulare, the World Ag Expo, the green V behind the red wave. Up next, a really neat story about how Fresno State changed an entire aspect of college football and what people drink for college football. Back after this on 940 ESPN.
The 52nd Annual World Ag Expo, presented by E.M. Tharp, the transportation people, and Premier Valley Bank. Local partners, limitless potential. Continues on 940 ESPN. Once again, here's Paul Leffler.
Hey, we're having a blast out here at the World Ag Expo 2019, the 52nd year that people involved in ag from all over the world have converged on Tulare. Last year they had over 100,000 people from 63 different countries, not to mention 49 of our United States. I wonder which state was missing last year. I might have to find that out. But we're worried about Fresno State and the Valley and the green V behind the red wave. We've learned a little bit about that already. We'll be doing that till 2 o'clock today, from 11 to 2 tomorrow, and 11 to 2 on Thursday. Great lineup of guests. We'll throw some of those names your way throughout the afternoon. And a couple great guests right now joining me from Fresno State, Andy Bennett, and from the dairy industry right here in Tulare County, Roger Flugel. And there's something sitting on our little 940 ESPN desk here. Now, this is Producer's low-fat chocolate milk, 1% milk fat chocolate milk. And it has not expired. You got to always check the dates, right? It's February 25th. That's good. You could drink that right now. But why in the world did you guys bring this chocolate milk up here? What's the story?
Tell you what, that's the best recovery drink you can have right now out there that's out there. I mean, it's natural, besides the added flavor and everything, but it's the best recovery drink that an athlete can have post-workout.
Well, we're talking to Andy Bennett. He was an athlete at Boise State, but he's wearing his Bulldog Red today, a red Bulldog
hat. I'm a dog.
Hat,
I'm a dog.
Red polo with the green V right on the side. Did you know when you were at Boise State that chocolate milk was the best recovery drink, or is that something you learned here in the Valley?
That was something we learned in the Valley. It happened to be one day. It was about a week before the football season started, and a company that provided our recovery drink all of a sudden said, we're not going to supply you with product. And I was like, whoa, well, how are we going to fix this? And I promise it was like, I don't know, I think it was later that day, Roger walked in the door and said, hey, could you ever use milk for anything? And I said, matter of fact, yes, I can. And laid out all the research on how chocolate milk's the best recovery drink athletes can have post-workout. It was just perfect timing.
So how about that?
It was awesome.
And at the time, you were Fresno State strength coach.
Correct, yep.
Now you're the Special Projects Save Mart Center. What's your title now?
Director of Special Projects for the Auxiliary Corporation of the University, but I do sales in the Save Mart Center, then odd job projects around the university. You know, I've worked a lot with the Campus Point project there and different projects around campus.
He's Andy Bennett. Roger Flugel is here as well. So, Roger, what possesses a guy to walk into the football office and say, hey, you need some milk?
Well, it's a perfect example of my life. I end up in places I never expect to be. And it's just a matter of running in and befriending Andy and just kind of staying in touch with him. And I happened to be in Fresno that day, and I just stopped in to say hello. And he looked a little stressed, very stressed, because he was trying to think of what words he was going to tell Pat Hill that I don't for my athletes. And so when I came in, I actually thought he was pulling my leg a little bit, just going to pull a practical joke. But when I saw his Instinct folder full of information, and I said, are you serious? And he goes, what do you think Michael Phelps drinks after every race? And I said, well, I have no idea. I said, it's chocolate milk. And so in my part was just a matter of networking the right people, and that I shipped my milk to California Dairies Incorporated, otherwise known as CDI, who supplies milk for Producer's Dairy that's located in Fresno. And the Shahadi family are just a tremendous family in Fresno and a very big supporter.
Yep.
And so I made the contacts with CDI, and then they in touch contacted the Shahadi family and said, well, we'll donate the raw product, and then they will bottle it, then they will provide it for all Fresno State athletes. And it's been, since that day on, it's been a staple for the Fresno State athletes, and the performance the players have done has been self, you know, I mean, is proven. And what's interesting about it is we at Nadir Industry actually, you know, thank Andy, because it wasn't something that he could do to that day. He still had, my understanding, what had to sanction the NCAA to redefine it as a food to a recovery drink so he could provide it to all the athletes. So with his contacting the NCAA, then it's blown up all over the country. You have the Boise States, the Washington States. You have the famous quotes of Michigan coach over there talking about milk's the best thing for you, young man. I mean, it's gone and realized what a perfect product it is. And being in the dairy industry, it was just a matter of putting the right people, the right scenario, and it was all positive.
It's pretty incredible. And how long ago was this now?
It started in, I believe it's 2005. Yeah, and it was, what was funny at the time, the legislation, the NCAA, milk was categorized as a food product, and you couldn't give food to your student athletes. So we had to send all the research in and show that this could be used as a recovery drink, and we got it approved, and right after that, it went like wild across the country. And, you know, it's an affordable product, too, and you know it's highly regulated, so it's going to be okay for you.
Have you kept track of how many other schools are doing that?
To tell you the truth, I think it's in every school because you can. It's affordable, you know.
Uh-huh.
And the schools I've visited, you know, they have it in there with their cooler, with their other products out there that people can use for recovery. But no, it's a nationwide product.
But you're saying that never would have happened if this other energy drink company hadn't ended its agreement with Fresno State?
100%. Yeah. it was. You know, it's just interesting how timing works. And I'm glad they ran out of product, or weren't going to provide us product anymore, so we could, you know, figure out a perfect relationship with this valley. And this is a no better example of using one of the great products of the 400 products produced in this valley to combine with Fresno State to form a great relationship that's been going on 13 years strong now.
And I'm sure we'll continue to go on long into the future. Roger, you've been to this World Ag Expo many, many times. What do you get out of it? What does it do for the valley? What does it do for your industry, the dairy industry specifically? Why do you keep coming back?
Yeah, that's a good question. Ironically enough, how small the world is 30 years ago. I'm originally from Illinois, and 30 years ago was my first introduction to California, where I was transferred out. I was sent out here to this farm show, and and then little did I know, a year later, I'm transferred out here for work, and then I developed my partnerships, and now I'm in the dairy business out here as well. But this farm show is such a nucleus, not just in the United States or in California, but internationally. It brings all the latest technologies that are available, and not just the dairy, but in every industry you can imagine. Hence, when you opened up as far as how many countries and states are represented here, this is an opportunity for our community and our society to really take advantage of the familiarity of the new technologies. An opportunity to socialize and see friends from across the country and throughout the area. It's just like an all positive. It's something that people look forward to, just to coming, socializing, seeing what's new. I mean, right now with the technologies in the dairy industry is amazing. Every year there's a new technology you can check out.
You know, I walk over a lot of the grounds to get to here to our set here at the E.M. Tharp Incorporated booth. Hey, there's another former Bulldog football player right over there, Steven Spock, still looking good.
Great player.
Yeah, and you know, his best moment came on that field you used to play on there in Boise.
100%. That was an awesome moment.
I got distracted by Steven standing over there. But I was saying, you know, I walked around a little bit of the area, but you guys have been around a lot more. And, Andy, you brought your son with you today, so I'm sure you've seen some really cool things. Can you tell some of our listeners some of the impressive technology or just equipment or exhibits that you've come across already?
Well, since Roger's a dairyman, we started in the dairy area, and you know, some crazy new technology that you just, I don't know if that'll fit. You know, there's automated milkers, and you know, just to me, you just like, maybe it's too futuristic, you know, for what's practical.
Uh-huh.
But you know, we got to see a lot of the big tractors. My son loves tractors, and so he took pictures on all the different ones, and he loves a John Deere and New Holland, so we've been collecting hats, and it's been a fantastic day so far.
A little. Maybe you can go find the old Massey Ferguson hat.
Yeah, they. So a lady tried to switch his John Deere for Massey Ferguson. He told him no. So.
You know, you got to have standards.
Yeah, he's loyal. He's loyal.
You know, you talk about the milk machines, and I had the privilege yesterday of sitting down with Jack Wolf, who's 101 years old, one of the biggest farmers in the valley, and a great supporter of Fresno State. And he started out milking cows with his dad and his twin brother. So he's on a dairy farm in Arizona, and that was when the first mechanical milkers came out. So he and his brother, you know, asked his dad, and his dad said, no, those aren't safe for the cow. You know, I can't get those, not safe for the cow. He said as soon as he and his brother left for college, his dad got a mechanical milker. And I was cracking up. It wasn't about the safety of the cow at all, was it? And certainly technology has changed a little bit since then. We're talking to Andy Bennett and Roger Flugel. If you have some questions for them or for any of the guests that we have today, we're going to meet some outstanding high schoolers in a minute. We have the water polo coach, Natalie Benson, coming on at 1 o'clock. Ryan Colburn and his dad, Ron. You remember the former Bulldog quarterback. He and his dad run one of the big seed companies in the country, and they're going to be here at 1:30. Some other great guests tomorrow and Thursday. If you have questions for any of those folks, get on Twitter, attach the hashtag AskAg, and we'll pass that along. We're going to take a quick break, but come back with more from Andy and Roger. Come see us at the World Ag Expo in Tulare. Look for the E.M. Tharp Incorporated booth. You won't miss it with all these huge Peterbilts, including the Bulldogs' own truck that travels all over the country taking their equipment to game days. That's the truck that will be traveling down to the Coliseum in August before the Bulldogs battle USC. Come take your picture in front of it. It's got a big Bulldog flexing, and it says Bulldog born, Bulldog bred. Come hang out with us at Tulare at the World Ag Expo and keep it here on 940 ESPN.
Designed around the driver, the 2019 Range Rover Sport delivers the most dynamic performance in the Range Rover lineup. Adaptive dynamics and sporty design cues make for exceptionally agile handling. Inside the cockpit, the new Land Rover Touch Pro Duo voice-activated infotainment system makes every journey more intuitive. And the full-color head-up display helps you stay focused on what's ahead. While ample storage and optional waterproof activity key means that you have more flexibility and more control over every adventure. Of course, passengers were considered too. Ambient lighting, optional cabin air ionization, and massage seats provide a relaxing ride for everyone on board. See the most amazing collection of the new 2019 Land Rover models at the elegant new Haran Land Rover location on Ventura in downtown Fresno. Land Rover, above and beyond.
After 80 years in business, all the right parts have come together. JM Equipment Company and Clark.
Adding Clark to our arsenal is just a great opportunity for us.
JM co-owners Audie Bergen and Ray Azevedo.
Clark's parts department capabilities are amazing. The Clark people have one of the most sophisticated parts sourcing systems I've ever encountered, and I've been in this business for 40 plus years.
Clark Vice President of Dealer Services, Scott Johnson.
We have parts for Clark trucks. We also have parts for non-Clark trucks. So if you had another brand, but you're looking for a single source to provide parts to your operation, you can go through JM Equipment.
With Clark, JM Equipment Company now has more parts than you can shake a stick at.
JM, through its relationship with Clark, can provide a wide range of parts.
Visit the new authorized dealer for the Clark forklift line at jmequipment.com.
Travel Shop invites you to discover the medieval villages, hillside castles, and enchanting scenery of Europe's majestic rivers when you sail on a Crystal River cruise. Crystal Cruise offers innovative and acclaimed six-star cuisine with regionally inspired menus, the most luxurious all-suite butler service cruise with all-inclusive amenities, including complimentary shore excursions in every port, airport transfers, champagne, and more. Call Travel Shop now and mention Ag Expo to receive additional discounts at 559-447-5767 or visit us at shoptravel.com. California Seller of Travel 200-4780-10.
Fresno State basketball. Speed, power, intensity. 40 minutes of Bulldogs mayhem. The buffet line at the Elbow Room. Delicious, delectable, delightful. A slam dunk. Put them both together and you have the perfect fast break. The Coach's Show with Justin Hudson. Hosted by the voice of the Bulldogs, Paul Leffler. Don't miss the free buffet during the Coach's Show with Justin Hudson Thursday at 6 p.m. at the Elbow Room. The 52nd Annual World Ag Expo, presented by E.M. Tharp, the transportation people, and Premier Valley Bank, local partners, limitless potential, continues on 940 ESPN. Once again, here's Paul Leffler.
Hey, we're only about halfway through our programming today from the World Ag Expo in Tulare. We're with you live till 2 o'clock. Come see us at the E.M. Tharp Incorporated area. Look for all those beautiful Peterbilts that are shining in that sun, burning through the clouds over Tulare. 52nd World Ag Expo. If you have questions for us, for any of our guests, get on Twitter. Use the hashtag AskAg. Andy Bennett, Roger Flugel, still here. You heard their story about chocolate milk 2005. Their energy drink contract ran out. Andy discovered chocolate milk was scientifically the best recovery drink. Roger just happened to walk into his office and ask him if he needed some milk, and the rest is history. And we're going to hear some more from them, but we're joined now by a guy who played right before that. In fact, his last game in 2004, his last memory on the field was a memory none of us can forget, scoring the touchdown in overtime to beat Virginia in the MPC Computers Bowl. Stephen Spock, what are you doing at the World Ag Expo?
Hey, yeah, thanks for having me on. No, I was just walking by, seeing some friends, and got a couple of clients out here. Actually, I heard that there was a good tri-tip, and so I made a bunch of excuses to come out for the day.
You smelled it from Clovis, right?
All right, exactly.
I did, too, on the way down here today. Was Andy Bennett your strength coach when you were at Fresno State?
Andy Bennett was my senior year, yeah. Yeah, assistant. We were happy to have we were happy to have Andy take over. That's all I'll say about that. My back was happy that Andy took over.
Yeah. Don't nip and tuck your comments now. Andy, what do you remember about big number 49 as a Bulldog, and maybe even in the weight room? What was he like to be around?
Yeah, he was phenomenal. He's one of my, you know, favorite players to be around. He's self-made. He works his butt off always. He was, you know, he was always in there before and after the weight room session was over. But Steven's guy, he only knows how to work hard. I mean, the guy's self-made.
Well, yeah, a walk-on at Fresno State to the NFL.
Unbelievable.
And a lot of people don't know that Stephen didn't play his whole career at Clovis High School. Weren't you at Mariposa for a while because your folks were working in Yosemite National Park?
That's right, Paul, yes. My dad worked for concession services for Yosemite for about 25 years, and for 1 year we had to – I mean, he got a promotion, so it was a good thing. So we had to move up to the park, and so I had to take that bus down to Mariposa County High School, about an hour and 10 minute bus ride each day, either way. And
where the field's about like that mud road right there,
yeah,
right?
That's about right. Yeah, we played. We played at the fairgrounds up there. So if it's raining, it's kind of, you think it's mud, but you're not really sure. It's, you know, it's got a little bit of a smell. But anyway, no, it was a good experience. And actually, I got to go up there, and it was cool to be a part of, like, that. It's a small town up there, but it's a tight group, and so it was kind of a good experience for me. And then I actually got to play with a Bulldog great, Logan Mankins.
That's what I was going to ask you about, because we're here at the World Ag Expo. Logan's a cowboy. Everybody knows that. And he has his ranch out on the East Coast now that he's taken care of. His dad is still farming up in Cathy's Valley. What was Logan like? What was your first impression of a guy we now know as he's going to be a Hall of Famer in the NFL?
Oh, absolutely, and he'll deserve it. He just got recently put into the Fresno Athletic Hall of Fame, which he absolutely deserves. I can't think of anybody that's more deserving of it. That guy is, I mean, he just works his butt off and quiet guy that just got it done, had the talent and had the drive, when I first met Logan, I went up there and I was kind of the new guy from like the big city of Clovis, you know. And so we were both on the JV squad, and we had, you know, somebody got hurt. We were both playing offensive line, defensive line, you know, and somebody got banged up on the varsity. And they decided to move me up instead of Logan. And so
claim to fame, baby. Claim to fame.
I went up and played on the varsity squad all year. I won't say that I was like an all-star on the varsity squad by any means. I had some struggles. But then after the season, you know how they do that? They bring up the guys from the JV squad. They bring them up. And so, you know, the sophomores they brought up, including Logan. And so the first day that those new guys were up, because we made the playoffs, and first day they put us against each other in one-on-one, and I got put about 5 yards back on my back. I remember the lower part of my back, like, hitting the ground. So, yeah, that was kind of a maybe they picked the wrong guy.
Maybe. When you were in New England with Logan, did you ever tell Belichick that story?
No, you know, I never got to. That Belichick is pretty incredible guy. I judge every coach that I look at, you know, what would Belichick do since that experience. But he's not much for, you know, casual conversation.
To say the least. We're talking to Stephen Spock, still joined by Andy Bennett and Roger Flugel as well. I got to ask you quick, Stephen, before I come back to these guys, and I think what's an important question to ask them. For you, so, you know, you get done at Fresno State, you play in the NFL, your playing career comes to an end, and you go into the financial world. Mm-hmm. You work for Thiessen Duker, right?
Mm-hmm. Work for Thiessen Duker, yeah.
A couple former Bulldog football players who have their names on that. And so you're in the financial industry. People say, well, that's not ag-related, but you just said you're here to see some of your clients. It is ag-related. What isn't ag-related in our valley? How do you see that interaction of the ag business in what you do, and how do you bring your Fresno State experience into all of that?
Yeah, it's interesting you say that, because you see all those signs around here that say my job depends on ag, you know, and I can't really justify wearing that sticker quite yet, but yeah, I do find, I mean, that's what runs this valley, is ag, and so I think it touches everybody to an extent, you know, whether. Gives everyone life, so I mean, and that's what this valley is, you know, that's what everybody's raised on here. So I think it kind of connects everything. So whether you're in, you know, financial, whether you're in real estate, whether you're in insurance, whatever, you're going to have a relationship there, and it's going to have to be a part of your life, part of your business.
I'm glad you mentioned the stickers. We're going to have the guys from My Job Depends on Ag here on Thursday telling us that story, where it all came from. They've got some exciting news that they've released this week, too, at the World Ag Expo about a new television series on their idea, on their product. And one of them, Steve Milanka, very big with the Fresno State Quarterback Club as well. So, like you say, it all does tie together. And I'm wondering, what else can be tied together? So, Andy, Roger, you gave us that great story about chocolate milk, how Fresno State discovered something and started a trend that has spread throughout the country. And, Roger, you have a personal story within your family that kind of vouches for that too, don't you?
Yeah. I'm very proud of her. I have a daughter who plays volleyball at Baylor. And she's gone on and walked on just like Steven does. And she's, this last year, they finished 24th in the country, and she became a starter from walk-on to nobody. But one of her first times when she was there, she calls me up and says, yeah, I got done work. Some of the statistics that you don't realize is dairy is the number one agriculture influence, economy influence in the state and or area. There's over 200,000 jobs that are directly correlated with dairy industry. And people don't realize that. There's, for every 10 cows is one job. So we have over 2 million cows in the state of California. So that's over 200,000 jobs in the state of California that's the economic influence. So that's just one sector. And then if you go into all the different, from almonds to everything else in the sector, you have to realize that agriculture is the number one driving economic influence in the state of California.
And you'll definitely learn that, and you'll see that here at the World Ag Expo in Tulare. We're here till 2 o'clock today, and from 11 to 2 the next couple days as the show continues. A lot of great events, so many cool exhibits, and some tasty food that I'm sure we're all going to be enjoying at some point today. But I'm wondering, Andy, that example with chocolate milk, are there some other ways that Fresno State, specifically with athletics and the ag industry, where they can team up and it can actually become an advantage for Fresno State? Because we all know if you're not in the Power Five, it's an uphill fight, and you've got to find some ways to match what those big schools have in money, maybe with toughness, with want to, with desire. And maybe with some connections with ag, could you see some other partnerships like that chocolate milk situation coming around?
100%. In this valley, you know, there's 400 different types of products growing there. But Fresno State has a refueling station, and the estimated budget is around $300K. And that's for buying product. That's for just all the services provided. So there's plenty of opportunities where there's growers in the area that could donate product to Fresno State to their refueling station. And there's also, you know, there's also a need financially to help grow that program as well.
So if growers are listening right now, or they're here at the Ag Show, and maybe they haven't heard of this before, they didn't know this was a possibility, and there are years where guys have surplus of crops that they have to do something with, what kind of products would you guys be looking for?
I think any of the any fruits and nuts, you know, 100% there. And then I think eventually they're going to learn how to get the training table piece applied to the entire department, and that could, and that's when you include a chicken and beef and those types of products. So.
Maybe they could just pick up the ribeye booth here at the World Ag Expo and just helicopter it to campus
at
Cedar and Shaw.
Awesome. It was delicious.
You haven't lived until you had a ribeye at the farm show.
Well, guys, we're about out of time here for our little time. I really appreciate you guys coming out and telling us that chocolate milk story. Some people may have heard it, but I bet most people never heard that. They didn't realize it. They might even not know what a great recovery drink chocolate milk is.
One thing that, if I may interrupt one thing, it's amazing how one thing incorporates another and goes through. But in all honesty, the little cooperative relationship we had in the chocolate milk actually blossomed into the milk can that was between Boise and Fresno State as well.
That's right, and you were a big part of getting that trophy designed. Now, right now, Boise State has the trophy because they beat the Dogs in the regular season, and they say the conference title game doesn't count.
No, it's just during the regular season. And that thing is, the way that it's handled is similar to the Stanley Cup, because every year, if you were on the team, your name is on the milk can for the each year that you were on there, or the whole roster is on the can, the way it's handled. But that was something that spawned it on, because our relationship with the milk, and then actually the dairy group from here gave them the ideas of Boise. They did it in Boise, and then from that, the can was evolved.
And what was really funny was one of those dairymen in Boise, on their side of it, was Tim DeRuiter's cousin.
Yes.
And then Coach DeRuiter was with us and was in some of those games. That was quite a wild thing. So when that comes around every year, Roger, and you see the trophy on the field, are you calling any dairy guys in Boise? Are you having a little fun with it?
Oh, that always happens. That always happens. Always this last year, you know, we had a few phone calls go back and forth, but it's fun. It's enjoyable. It's one thing we have in common within the industries, as far as there's a good segment of society of dairymen up in that area. No different than here, you know. But it's all fun and all good nature, and they've supported their program up there like we're supporting the Fresno State program here. So it's all positive.
Some of them might be here.
Oh yeah.
No might about it.
No might about it.
Have you guys seen any Boise State logos yet?
I know that there's one booth over there in the Dairy Pavilion always makes a point of having their Boise State thing up there in the Dairy Pavilion just to talk a little smack. They always do that.
Well, if we start in that direction, go a little further and grab some snow off those Sierra, maybe throw a snowball at the Boise State guys. They'd know where it came from. Hey, guys, great to have you on. I'm sorry the time went by so fast, but enjoy the rest of your couple days here at the World Ag Expo.
Fantastic.
Thank you very much.
All right, Roger Flugel, Andy Bennett, Stephen Spock here at the World Ag Expo. We're going to introduce you to some other special people when we come back. If you have questions, send them our way on Twitter, the hashtag AskAg, and keep it here on the home of the Bulldogs, 940 ESPN.
The 52nd Annual World Ag Expo, presented by E.M. Tharp, the Transportation People, and Premier Valley Bank. Local partners, limitless potential. Continues on 940 ESPN. Once again, here's Paul Leffler.
We're back at the World Ag Expo in Tulare. And the red wave, where do Fresno State and the world of agriculture intersect? And we are here because of the hospitality of E.M. Tharp Incorporated. If you see a bunch of colorful big rigs, Peterbilts, that's where we are. You can't miss our 940 ESPN set either. But E.M. Tharp and the World Ag Expo have been involved in something really neat for a long time. Since 2007, they have put together the We Believe in Growing Scholarship. It's a $10,000 scholarship awarded to two students every year who are headed to a four-year school to major in an agricultural field. They open it up to high school seniors from Madera, Fresno, Tulare, Kings, and Kern County, so a big section of our valley. And one of the winners of that scholarship this year from Bakersfield Christian High School, Alexis Cano, joining us now. The We Believe in Growing Scholarship. How'd you find out that you were the big winner?
So it was actually an easier process than I kind of expected. So we just did an application and then an interview, and then I got the call, and they said, congratulations, you won. And it was really exciting and actually kind of surprising, considering such a big ag community here.
So where are you going to go to school, and what's your specific major going
to
be?
So I plan to go to school at Dort University, which is in Iowa.
Yeah.
And I'm going to double major in ag business and pre-law.
Oh, wow. So then you want to be a lawyer that represents farmers or what?
Exactly.
Okay. Well, I guess that's some pretty squared away logic. So if you're going to do that, you might be in school for a while. So how big a difference does a $10,000 scholarship make for you?
Oh, it makes a huge difference. So I'll have to go to school for 4 years, and then after I get my bachelor's, then I'll have to go to law school. So $10,000 in the grand scheme of things makes a huge difference in helping me achieve what I want to, for sure.
And now you're here at the World Ag Expo in Tulare. How much have you seen so far?
I've seen a great amount. I made like a trek halfway across this big area. I was exhausted when I got over here to this area. It's really interesting seeing all the different machinery and all the innovation farmers have made in the past year since the last Ag Expo.
So you came last year too?
Yes, I've come for this is probably my third Ag Expo.
Uh-huh. So what's the coolest thing that you've ever seen here or experienced?
I don't know. I think it's all cool. I really like seeing all the big tractors for sure. You can climb up into them and like see all the different technology, and it's really interesting seeing how it's progressed just in the past 3 years that I've been here, for sure.
And what was it that made you interested in a career in the ag business?
So I actually grew up around livestock. I received like my first like project when I was 5 years old. I started with like a rabbit, and then from there I grew it, and I ended up growing my project to include different types of poultry like chickens, pigeons, and things like that. And then by the time I was 9, I started goats. So I've just kind of been all over the place, and it's kind of been a large part of my life. And so I think when I was looking for a future career, I wanted to find something that I would be able to be involved with that had a connection to my roots, for sure.
Talking to Alexis Cano, one of the winners of the We Believe in Growing Scholarship presented by E.M. Tharp and the World Ag Expo. So if you've been to three of these now, I do also have to ask you, what's the best thing you've eaten here, the most tasty food product you've consumed at the World Ag Expo?
Oh, the barbecue here is so good. It's crazy. And there's so many different places you can go. I haven't even been able to get to all of them from being here in 3 years. There's just so many options. The tri-tip is really good.
All right. I'm sure I'm going to taste it over these 3 days. Alexis, congrats on winning the scholarship. Good luck back there in Iowa. I'm sure you'll run into some Iowans around the World Ag Expo this weekend. And best of luck in your future.
All right. Thank you so much.
All right. That's Alexis Cano, one of the winners of the We Believe in Growing Scholarship. We're going to welcome on another high school student right now to his parents, because they have done something really impressive, really exciting, real encouraging. And if you listen to our broadcast, whenever one of the honor flights comes back, you know what a special situation that is. When we as a Valley have the chance to support our men and women who have served our country and send them back to Washington, D.C. to see the memorials that were built in their honor. Central Valley Honor Flight has been going since 2013. The 18th flight is coming up in April, and it's made possible by donations. It's an all-volunteer organization. It's all donations. And there was a big donation, a sizable donation, that Central Valley Honor Flight received recently because of the efforts of Preston Rowland. Preston, you are a high school senior, Riverdale High School?
Yes, sir.
I was out there the other day. There was a lovely aroma in the air. It's just a beautiful place to be. And why don't you tell everybody what you did for Honor Flight? Your parents are here too, Andy and Melanie, and this was a family effort, I know. Tell me how it started and what you ended up being able to do.
Well, since I was little, I've raised and sold dairy cattle, but I actually started a beef cattle project, and sadly didn't make weight for Carruthers Fair, and that's when we were planning to sell the beef cattle for Central Valley Honor Flight, but since it didn't make weight, we actually
Harvest
Social
and
Carruthers, and we only ended up making $2,200 off that sell. But
slide on over so your mom can have a seat here, too.
Yeah.
There we go. Sorry for interrupting.
We actually only sold the beef cattle project for only $2,200, but just from donations from people at that event, and also from challenges that we placed for different Lions clubs. We challenged multiple different Lions clubs, and they all pledged from $500 to.
So I'll talk on that. Yeah. I'm a Riverdale Lion member.
Uh huh.
And so Crothers is a part of the Harvest Social. So Crothers challenged the local Lions clubs to donate. They put up $500. Eastern Lions put up $500. Leighton Lions put up $500. Me being from Riverdale, we had to one up them. We went to 1,000. So it was really great that one volunteer organization sees what you guys are doing. And so many patriotic guys in Lions, they were like, oh, we're going to donate to this cause. So that was a big portion of it. And then just a lot of on Facebook. Paul Enos from Los Banos, he said you're a product of Los Banos.
I am. He's an old friend of mine.
So he even contributed a little bit just off of knowing you and our family. So.
I'll have to tell him thank you. And we're going to, later in the week, we're going to hear from some Los Banos FFA students who've helped out the Honor Flight effort, too. Melanie, when Preston said, hey, I want to donate the money to Honor Flight, what did you think about that?
I was really proud of him. We were just really honored that he was able to do that. And I just think that I hope he's an inspiration to a lot of the younger generation, because we want the veterans to realize that they are recognized by the younger generation and that they appreciate the service that and the sacrifice that they have given for us, for our country and our freedom. So we're very, very proud of them.
What gave you the idea, Preston? What was it about the idea of Honor Flight and the veterans going back to see their memorials that, I mean, because there's a lot of kids that work really hard on their livestock, they invest a lot in it, and they want to do something fun with that money. What gave you the idea of not just that money, but whatever you could generate beyond it to go to these veterans in this experience?
Well, I mean, ever since I was young, I was doing community service for 4-H, trying to find any way I can to impact the community, and definitely giving back to the community is something that I really look into doing, especially with veterans, because they're a part of our community, and that's somebody that we need to look up to and appreciate because of all the hard work and service they've done. So, I mean, once I heard of Central Valley Honor Flight, I knew that that's a program that I wanted to help and that I wanted to fund, and it was my senior year, and I knew that I had done my beef project for the past 2 years and had done pretty well, so I thought that I'd contribute that money and put it into Central Valley Honor Flight, because there's only one shot I had to make some money for the program, and that was it. So I guess we went just all in with it. We ended up raising $11,000, and that was that.
$11,000 that'll make a big difference in a lot of lives with Central Valley Honor Flight. And let's talk about you real quick before we run out of time. So you're a high school senior, and, you know, now you've done something really great for veterans and for your community. But what are you going to do next? What are you hoping to do next year?
Well, my plans are hopefully to join that same sort of service. I'm trying to get into the Naval Academy at the moment. If not, my backup is going to be ROTC or the officer training course, OTC, after college, and hopefully become a naval aviator. So that's the goal for now, but that's what I've set for myself. So I'm still waiting to hear back from the Naval Academy, and then if not, then I still have a lot of other schools that I've applied for and that I've gotten into. So that's my plan for now.
Well, I should probably give your folks a chance to brag on you a little bit. Andy and Melanie, you've been a big part of this process, too, and you helped them pursue this goal. It resulted in $11,000 going to Central Valley Honor Flight to take those veterans back to D.C. What did you learn about your son through this process, and what are you most proud of now that you look back at what's happened?
I'll let Dad speak.
Oh, my.
Sorry,
so,
Andy.
So, yeah, no, very, very proud of him. We grew up in a real tight-knit Crothers Riverdale area community. He's exhibited at Crothers Fair ever since he was 9 years old in 4-H and gone all the way through high school, Riverdale FFA. And one thing about that town, I don't know if you've ever been to the Crothers Fair, but
sure.
Very patriotic. Everybody supports the veterans and the American flag. And so we're just, I think through that upbringing, he's kind of learned, you know, what it's all about. So very, very proud of him.
Very proud. I just want to say that, you know, that's what you hope is raising your kids to be respectful and I'm just really proud of him for just being selfless, and I think it really does help coming from a supportive community. And we actually have our supportive county, and we'd just like to thank everybody who helped him raise the money to donate.
Amen. It's going to make a big difference, like I said. And I think it's a bigger difference than maybe even we know now, because just by doing what you did, Preston, and people hearing your story and us telling it on 50,000 watts right now at the World Ag Expo, other people are going to be encouraged to give, whether it's to Central Valley Honor Flight or to other nonprofits in our community. And I'm going to go ahead. I think we have a box around here that usually we use for giving tickets away. I'm going to make that a donation box for the rest of our time here at the World Ag Expo. We're going to put a little Honor Flight flyer on there. And anybody that heard you and was inspired and wants to follow your lead, if you guys run into anyone and they talk to you about it, send them our way. We'll take donations for the rest of our time here at the World Ag Expo for Central Valley Honor Flight with that next flight April 9th through 11th. Thanks so much, you guys, for your support and for being here with us in Tulare.
Thank you for you and the board, everything you do for Honor Flight.
Well, it's a team effort, and we have a very worthy cause, so it's a great privilege, and a privilege to know you guys. We're going to be back after this talking to Natalie Benson, the Bulldog Water Polo Coach. Come find us at the E.M. Tharp Incorporated area, right by all those big, flashy big rigs, the Peterbilts. We're here at the World Ag Expo in Tulare on 940 ESPN.
Live from the International Agri Center in Tulare, California, it's the 52nd Annual World Ag Expo on 940 ESPN. Sponsored by E.M. Tharp, the transportation people, and Premier Valley Bank, local partners, limitless potential. And now, here is your host, Paul Leffler.
You know, it is so much fun out here at the World Ag Expo in Tulare. You never know who you're going to run into. We just see former Bulldogs walking by, like Steven Spock, who played in the NFL. Throw him up here on the microphone. You've heard from wrestling coach Troy Steiner. We had a big leaguer on with us, Josh Labandera. Started the day with Tulare's own Congressman Devin Nunes joining us from D.C. Don Nelson, a former Bulldog wrestler now with Midland Tractor, told us his story. We heard how chocolate milk became Fresno State's exclusive energy drink and has spread like wildfire around the country. And just moments ago, if you were listening, we heard a couple encouraging stories from high school students. One young lady, Alexis, who won the scholarship here from the World Ag Expo and E.M. Tharp. And then Preston Rowland out of Riverdale High School, who has already raised $11,000 for Central Valley Honor Flight. And having him up here just made me think, let's lay down the gauntlet. Let's have a box. Take donations for Honor Flight while we're out here. If you would like to help send our veterans to Washington, D.C., you can come donate right here at our booth. And we also have flyers with information on how to apply, how to get a veteran on the flight, how to become a volunteer guardian on the flight. We'll have all that for you if you come find us at the 940 ESPN E.M. Tharp booth. Just look for the big sign that says, the green V behind the red wave. And we're going to hear from a lady who knows about red waves, who knows about waves, who knows about water, who knows about water polo. And I'm wondering, is there a spot to put a green V on a water polo cap or swimsuit?
There are very few places you can put it, but we found a place to put it.
Where'd you put it?
We put it on the back. So the water polo suit is a little bit different than a swimsuit, where it has a traditional like racer back, like the X across the back. The water polo suit, you actually have a full zipper, so off to the right, I thought it actually looked pretty cool to have. We have the Bulldog script on the front chest, and on the back right, we've got a nice big green V right there. So when our girls are elevating out of the water, taking a shot, little cool picture from the back, you can see the valley right there behind us.
Now, it's not raised from the fabric enough that someone else can grab it and use that as a weapon, right?
Absolutely not. Nope.
Because water polo players, like, never grab each other's suits or anything like that.
No, never. No, there's plenty of other things we can utilize as weapons in our sport. We don't need the V.
Well, I need to give you a proper introduction. Some of the listeners have met you, some haven't. This is Natalie Benson, Fresno State's water polo coach, a two-time Olympic medalist, a three-time national champion at UCLA. And, man, you're facing those Bruins a lot this year, aren't you?
Yeah, well, I had one on the schedule, and then one of my former UCLA teammates, Coralie Simmons, the head coach up at Berkeley, let me play him one more time. So I thought it was great to have the opportunity to play against not only them, but I think we've played the whole top five.
Yeah.
In USC, Stanford, UCLA, Hawaii. So we've played against obviously some of the best in the country in our first 10 games. But getting being able to play UCLA close twice was pretty cool.
I was looking at that, your last match against them, 11-8. I mean, that's in water polo, that's one that can go either way.
Right, and the neat thing also is they had a game before, and they rested their starting goalkeeper and one of their returning Olympians, Maddie Musselman, and they played them against us, so I thought that was a pretty big compliment.
That is, and I'm sure that's not the last time something like that's going to happen. I don't know how many of you listening have been to a Fresno State water polo game yet at the Bulldog Aquatic Center. You're going to have a great chance coming up in April when the Bulldogs host their conference championships, the Golden Coast Conference. Other teams in that conference include San Diego State, Pacific, Santa Clara. But your schedule so far, like you said, has just been an absolute gauntlet. You're 3-8, but every single one of those 8 losses is to a nationally ranked team. And you've beaten a couple ranked teams. Beat Long Beach State, beat Indiana. Let's see. Next up, you're going to Cal Lutheran, and then you go off to the Midwest to battle Michigan again, a little rematch. Next home game is March the 13th against George Washington. How much difference are you seeing, Coach, this year's team compared to last year and the debut of water polo at Fresno State?
You know, everybody was new last year, I think, similar to Coach Steiner. You have people who are brand new, and this is their first venture into the sport at this level. And I think, you know, to give it some imagery, they were kind of tiptoeing into it. Everything was like 50-60%, just trying to feel their way out, understanding what their role was and, you know, what does this consist of, what's the you know, the theme of the season, what are we doing here, essentially, was kind of everybody's reaction. And from last year to this year, just where we are right now is leaps and bounds ahead of where we were last year. And it's exciting to see how the girls were able to take their experience from last year and apply it so early this year, and have some freshmen who are able to come in and give us some pretty significant minutes right off the bat as well.
Well, and water polo is a strong sport in the Valley in the high school ranks, and you have several of those Valley products on your team. We could talk about recruiting a little bit later, I guess. We're talking to Natalie Benson, water polo coach at Fresno State, here at the World Ag Expo in Tulare. We're here till 2 o'clock today. Coming up at 1:30, former Bulldog quarterback Ryan Colburn going to sit in and reminisce with us. He works in the world of ag. You work in the world of water. Ag people talk about water all the time. But what else are you finding in common as you walk around here at the World Ag Expo in Tulare? What has struck you so far since you showed up?
Well, the first thing is I wore the wrong shoes. I think that was literally the first thing that struck me as I stepped out of the car. You have a kid from L.A. wearing tennis shoes at the Ag Fest, so that was mistake number one. I'll learn that lesson. But my husband and my father-in-law actually came out to this last year and were telling me all about it, and they had a great time, and it was like their Disneyland with all the big toys and all the heavy machinery and, you know, all just the amazing feats of engineering and, you know, intuition that we're capable of. And obviously we're in the hotbed of it here with being in the Central Valley, and this is where things are grown, this is where people eat, and it's really cool to see everybody come together around such an important thing for everybody.
Well, and you wonder, you know, when you see people come together like that, how much can they come together behind Fresno State? How much are the Bulldogs capable of if everybody gets on the same page? And, you know, I jokingly asked you, can you fit a green V on your water polo uniforms? And you explained, yeah, you really did find a place there just below the neck on the back of the jersey. It's right behind us here, this giant green V for Valley, and it represents ag. In fact, in that you know, in that picture, there's a field right behind it where you see some of those crops growing. Why was that important to you, to find a place for the green V, to have that be part of your brand-new program's look in the pool?
Well, a couple of reasons. One, you know, the green V, honestly, is probably the most significant piece of imagery for me in choosing to work here.
Really?
Yeah. When I was on my interview and touring campus and walking into the weight room and seeing the big green V, in there, you know, that's where your work is done, that's where you plant your seeds, that's where all that hard work goes, and you don't necessarily reap what you sow until you put that hard work in. And again, that's what we stand for here in the Central Valley. And for me, growing up in, you know, Los Angeles, Orange County, like there is not a lot of culture, there's not a lot of you know, you're not really proud to be from there because you don't really represent anything. Like there's nothing that you really stand for. And so when you can come here and literally represent an entire region of people who understand what hard work is, who understand what grit is, what determination is, And we actually even put the green V on the front of our training suit, and it's front and center, and you know, the kids are really resonating with it. It's our first value is Valley pride. We talk about being Valley tough, and even kids who aren't from the Valley, or those values resonate with them personally. And so I think it's, you know, it's something that we need to grasp as a group and as a team. And it was really strong for me just in choosing to be here, but it's an easy thing for me to talk about with my team, and my team's really buying into it, and it's really fun to watch. But the Green V is powerful, and, you know, again, we represent an entire region of people, and I think that's really unique not only in our sport but just in collegiate athletics in general, and it's a pretty cool opportunity for us.
Well, that's really well said, and I think that meant a lot to a lot of people. We're going to take a quick break. Maybe you have a question for Coach Natalie Benson. You just heard how powerfully she feels about the Green V and the chance to represent the Valley with Fresno State Water Polo. And put that on your calendar this April when the Bulldogs host the Golden Coast Conference Championships. That's April 26th through the 28th at the Aquatic Center. You know where it is. It's just east of Bulldog Diamond, of Margie Wright Diamond now, the softball complex. I've been in that pool, thanks to Coach Benson and her husband giving me a sneak peek of trying to make it 50 yards and not have to stop for air.
It was a hot day.
It was, and that was a great softball tournament and a great cause. We'll do it again this summer, but we'll do it in a couple minutes. Your questions for Coach Benson, I'll have a few more for her as well. We're at the World Ag Expo in Tulare, talking Bulldogs, talking ag, the Green V behind the red wave. And we're right back after this on 940 ESPN.
So it's President's Weekend in the Valley, and you are doing what? Yeah, let me help you out with that. You're going to China Peak. You know, where the snow is beyond epic right now, insanely deep, every run open, and the China Peak posse is ready for you. Soli's serving it up at Soli's, Carol and Karen at Jack's, Tristan and Melissa at Buckhorn, Corey's Gang in the Rental and Demo Center ready to hook you up with top-of-the-line skis and snowboards. Spencer's over there and his tribe of ski and snowboard instructors waiting to enlighten you to the finer points of ripping China Peak. Hey, Russell's ready to check you into a sweet room. Roger, Keith, Jennifer serving up awesome breakfast burritos and tri-tip for lunch. And Chef John dreaming up the next killer soup at J-Dub's. Hey, I'll pick you up early this weekend. Yeah, it's going to be like one for the ages, so we're going, all right? President's Weekend at China Peak. I'm down. I'm locked in. We're going. You ready? China Peak, President's Weekend.
Purchase lift tickets, hotel rooms, learn the ski packages, and get all the latest scoop by visiting SkiChinaPeak.com. That's SkiChinaPeak.com.
Hi, this is Paul Leffler, and you know, I spent a lot of time looking at statistics, and any way you slice it, Fresno State football was the most successful program in California in 2018. Nobody lost fewer games, and nobody won more games. But there's someone else that shares this Best in California title. It's Fashion Furniture. Four unique stores in one location, including the new Flex Steel Home by Fashion, Moe's by Fashion, and Sleep Retreat, Fresno's only premium mattress store. And the store that started it all. 59 years ago, Fashion Furniture opened on the corner of Van Ness and Tulare in downtown Fresno. And today, it's 75,000 square feet of the most incredible home decorating ideas you've ever seen. Four stores, one beautiful location. On El Paso, across from River Park. And much like those Fresno State Bulldogs, there's nothing like it in all of California.
And now, a quick comparison from Grasshopper. When picking a phone number for business, what sounds more professional? Your personal number?
Hold on, let me give you my cell. And actually, let me get yours too, just so I don't ignore your call, you know?
Or a dedicated business number, courtesy of Grasshopper.
It was a pleasure meeting you. Our number is 1-833-IT-TROOP. Give us a call anytime.
There's no contest. Put your best voice forward with Grasshopper, the virtual phone system for small business. Try it free at grasshopper.com.
Whitey's Pets is everyone's favorite locally owned pet store. All the best leading brands and pet nutrition experts to help you along the way. It really is the apex of pet stores with every animal you can think of. When you're thinking of pets, think Whitey's. It's the best.
You don't have to be an elite athlete to get elite orthopedic care. At Sierra Pacific Orthopedics, all of our patients receive their orthopedic care from the same doctors who treat the Fresno State Bulldogs. Sierra Pacific Orthopedics, official team physicians for Fresno State Athletics.
The 52nd Annual World Ag Expo, presented by E.M. Tharp, the Transportation People, and Premier Valley Bank, local partners, limitless potential, continues on 940 ESPN. Once again, here's Paul Leffler.
I tell you, every time you inhale here at the World Ag Expo, you catch a whiff of some meat on the grill. Looking forward to that once we're done. 2 o'clock is when we wrap things up out here at the World Ag Expo. That's when Tony Diodato takes over with Sportsline at the Bulldog Hour. Christopher Gabriel from 3 to 6 tonight here on 940 ESPN. But if you don't catch us here at the World Ag Expo today, find us tomorrow. We'll be here from 11 to 2 tomorrow and Thursday. A great lineup of guests. And now we're also taking donations for Central Valley Honor Flight, thanks to the inspiration of Preston Rowland, the young high school student you heard from moments ago. I have this box here waiting for the first person to come and slip something in right here at our E.M. Tharp Incorporated set. Look for the big green V where it says the green V behind the red wave. If you want to see some young ladies making waves in the pool, you've got to get out to Fresno State for water polo. March 13th, the next home game against George Washington. April 26th is the conference tournament. The Bulldogs, in only their second year, get to host the conference tournament. You also have a chance to see schools like Michigan and Harvard come into the Valley to take on Coach Benson's team. Natalie Benson is our guest. She's won Olympic gold medals. She's won national championships. She's in the USA Water Polo Hall of Fame. But, Coach, you're also a wife and a mother, and you have two little girls. How much fun did they have at your water polo games?
Well, the last game I was giving them a hard time because I only watched the first quarter. but when you're 8 and 6, I guess you can afford to do that. They have a great time. It's fun to have them around, to give them a lot of female role models, strong women there. So the women's bathroom, my couple of their little friends from school, and got the autographs and hung them up in their bedroom, and you know, just things like that, where I think it's important that my young girls see strong women doing really cool things, and one day they aspire to do those very same things, or maybe something just as cool but different. You know, the Bulldog Blitz actually came in and spoke with our team last month.
Those are the skydivers, for those of you who don't know, the young ladies who jump out of the planes and parachute into Bulldog Stadium during football games.
Yeah, right. And they're fantastic. They're great. My daughter wrote them a letter once, and they wrote back, and you know, and so I wanted the girls to be there for that, so I picked them up early from the daycare and took them out to listen to them talk. And my little one, who just turned 6 last week, told me, you know, Mommy, one day I want to skydive. And so it's cool to see them starting to pick up on these things that we're trying to kind of subtly put in their face of, you know, hey, you can do things, and you know, you can dream big. So I think that's one of the coolest things about having hard, and we're grinding. So I think it's nice for them to see that I am a mother, and I can care.
Well, your daughters might want to catch this, maybe not this year, but in the future years. First year they've had it here at the World Ag Expo, they have a one-day conference called Grow by Farm Her. To water polo is a real fun family sport. It's a family-friendly environment. The best thing for young families, it's free. Nobody has to pay to get a ticket to come into your games. And I think for the parents with real young kids, it doesn't last forever. So their attention span can handle a one-hour water polo game. What have your crowds been like, and what's the atmosphere you would like to see materialize there at Fresno State's Aquatic Center?
Well, our first home game last year was against Fresno Pacific, and we also had our first home game this year with Fresno Pacific. And I think it's a great tradition that Coach Sehovi and I would like to continue doing, because it's kind of like a celebration of water polo in Fresno, where a lot of these kids are local kids, and we want them to be able to compete in front of their family and their friends. And it's kind of like a home game for everybody, which is really nice. So that first game last year, I think we had over 800 people in attendance, standing room only, and it was just really impressive. I've had coaches of other programs tell me, hey, this is going to be a hard place to play, because you have a lot of really great support, and there's a lot of really great things going on, and things that don't happen in our sport at other institutions. And so my goal for our team is to kind of create an environment where it's hard to play us at home, because there's a lot of really positive, supportive people out there in the stands, and it's kind of scary for the opposing team to walk in there and see all that red. So I want the red wave and the dog pound to be pretty strong out at our matches. And again, for families with children, it's inexpensive. Obviously, it's free. It's only an hour long, and there's a lot of things. There's a bright yellow ball and a big pool to keep their attention. So it's pretty fun.
It is, and it's intense. How do you explain your sport to someone who's never played it or maybe never watched it? Do you ever run into misconceptions or things they think they know what it is, but they really don't?
Yeah, a lot of times it's how do you get the horses in the water? That joke, you know. And I say, yeah, you got to be really strong to be able to swing that mallet through all that water. It's pretty tough. So we obviously get that one. That one's kind of died out as I've gotten older. But now you get the people who look at you and make this strange arm motion over their head, like they're lassoing something. They're like, water polo. I'm like, I don't know what you're doing, but yes, water polo. People maybe don't know that you can't touch the bottom.
Right.
So it's an all deep pool. You have to tread water the entire time. You can have physical contact with people. So the rules are, while the game itself is very, very similar to basketball in terms of inside-outside attack, you have your counter attack, your transition. Everybody plays offense. Everybody plays defense. Picks, screens, inside-outside shots, things like that. The game itself is a lot like basketball, but we have goalkeepers, so everybody assumes it's like soccer, when in reality it's very little. It's not like soccer at all. It's kind of like hockey because we have an exclusion box. You get kicked out for major fouls. You're allowed three of those fouls. You sit in the box for 20 seconds, and then you can come even. So we have man-up, man-down situations. And then, you know, obviously there's no dead time. You just keep moving and keep playing. So... And even with fouls, if I'm touching you, or if you're touching the ball and I'm touching you, that's totally fine. But the minute you let go of the ball, I have to let go of you.
Right.
So that's another way it's a little bit different than some other sports.
You guys, in the off season, have some camps for kids?
We do. We usually have a winter camp that takes place in between Christmas and New Year's. Usually it's for ages 11 or 12 up to 18-year-old girls. And then we have a summer camp, and I think that'll be in June, maybe the 14th, 15th, 16th, like that weekend the kids get out of school in the district.
Well, I just asked because, you know, since it's a sport that's new at Fresno State, it's not new in the Valley. I mean, Clovis Unified has great programs. There are other places that have had really quality teams around the Valley. But, I mean, isn't it all about exposing that to younger kids, getting them to love the sport, and then watching them develop, and you'll have a chance to do that. Especially if you're here for a long time and can build the powerhouse you're trying to build. When you took that job, did you have an idea in your mind of what the full potential of Fresno State water polo could become over time?
Absolutely. In working with the national team and the Olympic Development Program, we've done a lot of camps throughout the country. And you meet kids and you meet families and you meet coaches and you kind of see some recurring themes. You know, you see how... You know, the kids here always say thank you, and they always shake your hand, and they always look you in the eye and tell you and say thank you for spending your day with us. And I always appreciated that. And the kids from here are just respectful and appreciate your time. And they're big kids that know how to work hard. So definitely know that this area, this region, is just ripe for becoming a powerhouse. You see other institutions kind of cherry-picking some of our best kids before we had a program, getting them to move away, very similar to wrestling, where the best kids are elsewhere. We have some kids doing really well up at UC Davis, down in UC Santa Barbara, down at UC Irvine, some local kids that have done really well for themselves. But now the goal is to keep those kids here. Now they actually have a place to go. But there's definitely a lot of hope in the future. There's more and more kids playing, more kids getting a lot more experience. It's not just 2 or 3 months out of the year and then we swim. There's kids playing water polo more consistently and getting more and more experience, which is, I think, where our biggest deficit is, and they're starting to fill that.
Well, that's encouraging news. We're talking to Natalie Benson here at the World Ag Expo in Tulare. She's Fresno State's water polo coach. I do have a couple follow-up questions there. You explained to folks about the exclusion box in water polo, and I couldn't help but wonder how frequently you found yourself ending up in the exclusion box during your playing career.
Well, there is a reason why I didn't play basketball, Paul, because I'd foul out of every game. That's why water polo is my spirit animal. I knew it was for me. That or wrestling. Maybe Coach Steiner can coach me up a little bit. By nature of my position, I was a center defender, so yeah. You naturally find yourself a little bit there a little bit more than most others because you're defending the center, you're defending the person right in front of the cage. And so, I spent my fair share of time in there, especially as a young athlete.
Well, and you answered my other question, too. I was going to ask you, when you compared it to basketball, if you played basketball, what kind of player? I've seen you play softball. I know you can swing the bat and you can handle the glove and you can throw it across the diamond. But I was just picturing you as a basketball player. You're saying no can do, huh?
No, I'd break my ankles. Couldn't do it.
Well, I think you found the right sport, and I think those Olympic medals are a pretty good testament to that. So the conference tournament, April 26th to 28th, a chance for Fresno State to host that. How big of an audition is the conference tournament here and whatever can come out of that if you guys emerge as the champions?
Well, you know, the administration and our marketing department and everybody is asking, okay, what do you want this to be? How do you want this to feel? And ultimately, it's a conference tournament, and so we can't just cheer for Fresno State as the hosts. But, you know, I want other schools to see how seriously we take water polo. There's a lot of schools where literally you'll look in the stands and it's everybody's mom and dad. You know, maybe one friend who showed up because they felt sorry for you or something. You know, I don't know. But there are usually very few fans unless it's a game that really means something or it's a rivalry game. And I think that's where we have the opportunity to make our mark on water polo, where we can fill our stadium every time we play. And that catches eyes. That really turns heads. And I think that makes kids want to play here, is because you want to show off what you're doing. You want to perform. You want to be able to say, hey, look, this is what my hard work has gotten me, the right to play in front of you and give you a good show. So I think that's where we have a really great opportunity, and that will help us with recruiting, that will help us with our student-athlete experience, and ultimately it will help our community have a really great time. Hey, we went to a water polo game today. It was awesome. We had a lot of fun. We got to watch the girls play. And, you know, who knows, if one or two more kids pick up the game, that's cool. But at the very least, we gave our fans, we gave the Red Wave something to come watch and be proud of.
Well, you gave me something to get excited about today. You always fire me up. You're passionate about your sport, and I know we're all proud to have you in the Bulldog family. Mark that on your calendar. April 26th through 28th, the Golden Coast Conference Championships at Fresno State for water polo. Be there March 13th, their next home game. It's free. It only lasts a little over an hour, and you can watch an up-and-coming team that's already knocked off a couple ranked opponents this year and is sure to do that some more before the season's over. Coach Benson, enjoy the rest of your time here at the World Ag Expo.
Thanks, you too. I hope you get one of those sandwiches.
I'm going to hunt one down. My nose is going to lead me, and I'll follow the way.
Thanks, Paul.
All right, that's Natalie Benson from Fresno State. After this, we're going to catch up with a former Bulldog quarterback who now is working hard throughout the state in the ag business. We'll hear from his dad, too, and get some of their Bulldog memories and what the green V means to the Red Wave here at the World Ag Expo in Tulare on 940 ESPN.
The 52nd Annual World Ag Expo, presented by E.M. Tharp, the Transportation People, and Premier Valley Bank. Local partners, limitless potential. Continues on 940 ESPN. Once again, here's Paul Leffler.
Hey, we're back here at the World Ag Expo in Tulare, California. 52nd Annual, 2.5 million square feet of exhibit space, every tractor you can think of, incredible technology. We're hanging out with the Peterbilts here, thanks to E.M. Tharp, and we're going to be here tomorrow and Thursday from 11 to 2. The time just flies by so quickly when you got great people to talk to, and I have a couple more of those right now. Ron Colburn and Ryan Colburn, they're with TSNL Seed Company, but you remember that name too from Fresno State football. Southpaw. So let's hear some stories about this guy when he was a little guy. When did you start to get the idea that he could play Division I football and maybe even be a quarterback?
You know, we didn't start him very young in pads in the Pop Warner. He played flag football all the way through sixth grade. Definitely athletic from a very young age, but started playing Pop Warner is a seventh grader. They wouldn't let him play quarterback because coach had a kid that played quarterback, so he played tight end and I think had 20 touchdowns or something. And freshman year really is when he picked up the football in between eighth and ninth grade. And I mean, he'd been throwing, but then started going to a bunch of camps freshman year, sophomore year, and he was playing basketball and baseball at the same time, but you could see that football was his passion.
So, Ryan, kind of sounds like, you know, once they cut you loose on football, you just went full speed ahead. Were you just chomping at the bit to get out there and they finally let you or what?
Well, I liked soccer.
Yeah?
When I was growing up, my dad told me, we got to one point, my dad just said, you're too big for soccer, you're playing football now. So I said, okay. As long as I got to compete, I was happy. It was good. Pete, I still do, and I love to play the game. I really enjoyed the game. And you get to a point where it's like you want to compete at the highest level. And so that was the opportunity that I had in front of me, so that's what I did.
you know, I've appreciated, and you know, you're still close with your coach, Pat Hill, and you know how he feels about you. But it's been fun with Pat the last few years that Ryan Colburn has become a standard that he holds other people to. And it's not necessarily, you know, throwing the best deep ball or, you know, the perfect pass over the middle or being the fastest runner. It's not any of those things that you hear the talking heads on TV going on and on about during the combine. But what it always comes back to is Colburn was a winner, he was a leader, and he was really, really tough. Is that because you grew up around ag, that you grew up in the valley? How much of that comes to that connection?
Well, there's no doubt that, you know, ag was a way that, you know, I grew up learning how to work hard. You know, I attribute that to my dad and my mom, and they taught me how to work hard from a really young age. You know, being tough, you know, was something that, you know, obviously it was very important to Pat, but it fit my personality, and it was how I was raised. I was taught to deal with adversity. I was taught to get up early, even though you didn't want to. You know, I was taught how to do things and to be responsible from a young age, to where when Pat said, hey, this is how we're going to operate, I connected immediately with it, because people in agriculture do things that they don't want to do all the time because they have to. You know, yeah. I mean, it was 29 degrees next to my house, and people are running frost protection on their citrus all over the place, or on their tree fruit, or on their, you know, whatever it is. I mean, people are doing everything they can, overcoming adversity all over the place. Not because it's comfortable, not because it's something that they want to do in the middle of the night, but they caffeinate themselves and they take care of what they have to do to keep going. And so to me, when I got to Fresno and that was Pat's mantra, I connected with it immediately.
And that was clear by the way you competed on the field. Ron, when you first saw that big green V, it's right behind us here, the green V behind the red wave, as someone who has been in the ag business for a long time, did it seem like a genuine tribute to what you did? Did it seem like maybe it was a gimmick or you know, a token appreciation? How did you interpret that?
You know, I'm trying to remember when they actually put that on the helmet, because I think we were really active in the South Valley Booster Club that Roger and Bill Gargan and the Shannons and several other families put together. We were raising money and doing it. And I believe it was around 2005 or 6 or 7 when they started that. And, you know, I thought it was a genuine, you know, if you can't connect with the Valley by a green V, you know, there's no other way. There was a group of farmers up in the Fireball area that made a big brown V because they took the water away. So that was, you know, another deal that kind of played off of that. But, no, I think it's a genuine call to a big part of the economic success of the Valley, the big part of the boosters and, you know, a lot of people that go to the stadium and fly and travel and do those things are ag-related. They may not farm, but they're ag-related, like Roger said. It extends into trucking and fertilizer and, you know, all kinds of byproducts.
No question. And it's funny you mentioned the brown V. It made me remember one of our first guests today, Josh Lavendera, the former big leaguer and All-American at Fresno State. He said, you know, when he was a kid, he got a blue Fresno State hat and wore it till it was brown. And I was thinking, well, you grew up on a dairy. It's going to turn brown pretty fast out there. You know, we do have the ability to take your questions if you're listening with the hashtag AskAg on Twitter, and we already have one here from Noah. He says, as a quarterback transitioning into my first year of eligibility in college, what advice would you give me? You got some advice there, Ryan?
Getting a little chant from the crowd here. You know,
they still remember number 15 out here in Tulare.
You know, I was given some advice. I was given some advice a couple of years ago, and you look at the guys who are the best. It doesn't matter what they do, whether they're quarterback or anybody else. They get a little bit better every year. And so, what I would encourage a young quarterback to do is to constantly consider how you are weak and improve upon it. Don't make excuses for yourself. Don't give yourself any excuses not to maximize the God-given abilities that you have. Every person is unique in their skill sets, in their upbringing, in, you know, their abilities physically, and it's our responsibility to maximize what we have. And if you can do that, you'll be highly successful.
Great advice. Great advice. It's just about break time, but we're going to have more with Ryan Colburn, with Ron Colburn. And I do want to mention, you know, we had Preston Rowland on earlier, the young man from Riverdale High School and the FFA program there, who with his parents and a bunch of helpers put together $11,000 to support Central Valley Honor Flight. What a great example he is. I told you that, hey, since he did that, we're going to go ahead and take donations here at our set here the next 3 days for Honor Flight. I have some flyers, too, where you can sign up a veteran. You can learn more about it. But I do want to thank Natalie Benson for starting us off. She threw the first chunk of cash in there, the water polo coach from Fresno State, supporting our efforts with Honor Flight. If you'd like to do that, come find us before 2 o'clock over here at E.M. Tharp Incorporated at the World Ag Expo, and we'll keep that here for tomorrow from 11 to 2 and Thursday from 11 to 2 as well. If you have a question like Noah did for Ryan Colburn or for Ron, tweet it our way with the hashtag AskAg, and we're right back after this from Tulare and the World Ag Expo on 940 ESPN.
The 52nd Annual World Ag Expo, presented by E.M. Tharp, the transportation people, and Premier Valley Bank, local partners, limitless potential, continues on 940 ESPN. Once again, here's Paul Leffler.
What a special day here at the World Ag Expo 2019, right off the 99 in Tulare. You've driven past it a million times. Have you ever been here, though? Have you done like that young man is doing right now and had your dad pull you in a trailer to look at all the tractors and the big Peterbilts, maybe even drive a tractor, eat some great food, and meet people from all over the world? 63 different countries last year at the World Ag Expo. This is year number 52, and we have a few more minutes with former Bulldog quarterback Ryan Colburn and his dad Ron. They work together now. And ag has been a part of your guys' family for a long time. In fact, tomorrow morning, a lot of the folks who are here right now will be here early for the annual World Ag Expo prayer breakfast. And at that, a few years ago, Ron, your family was honored as the Tulare County Ag Family of the Year?
Yeah, we were. It was a special honor that ended up being really special but really hard at the same time. They came out and videoed my dad talking about the family and the legacy. He was an ag teacher for 33 years, and that's really the basis for me and my three brothers are all in ag. And about 10 days before the farm show, they had done the video. He spoke about his whole life, so we had that as a kind of a blessing from God. We look at it of him talking, but, he passed away. He had a heart attack about 10 days before the farm show. So it was a blessing, but it was really hard to get up in front of, 500 or 600 people a couple times and talk about the family, but it was definitely a blessing.
Yeah, and why don't you help us understand how the ag industry became so central to your life, and tell us about what you do now with the TSNL Seed Company. Now, I understand that a lot of the tomatoes that we eat are grown from seeds that you guys are distributing, right?
Yeah, we've been in the I went to Cal Poly for the first 2 years, and then graduated from Davis and started working at Hunt's. But yeah, from an ag background, we grew up showing animals and raising animals on a small farm. He was an ag teacher in Southern California, and all my older brother's a veterinarian, and the other two brothers, we all worked together actually in the seed and transplant industry. But it's just been something part of our lives. Went to work for Hunt's at a cannery while I was going to school at Davis. Started doing research on tomatoes and got into the seed industry all the way back in 1983. So it's been in it for a long time. Joined TSNL in 88, came down to Fresno County, and we sell seed and transplants. California supplies, I think it's 92% of the U.S. Processing tomato acres and tonnage in the U.S. So, we're intricately involved in seed and transplants. We have some greenhouses, and we grow a lot of transplants and help people get them planted. So
Ryan, your dad, went to a couple solid ag schools, Cal Poly and UC Davis, but you figured it out. You went
okay.
To the best one, Fresno State.
Yeah, they were okay.
But when did you, how did you come to the decision that my playing days are over, and I'd love to follow this family tradition and work in ag and work with my dad and my uncles? How did that whole decision point come about for you?
Well, I always knew growing up that I was going to end up in agriculture. I always enjoyed it. I worked since I can remember, whether it be with livestock or with, farming crops or working with dad. I mean, I just remembered having a love for agriculture from a really young age. So I knew I wanted to play professional football, and I knew I wanted to be an ag. I just didn't know when that would be. So you know, when it came time where I could just see the Lord pulling me out of football and kind of pushing me more into having to go work every day, it was like, okay, well, let's see if I enjoy this or not. And, you know, I got to that point where I started to understand what it was to be in ag business and understand what it meant to, you know, interact with customers, learn products like a lot of people do. And, you know, when you get down to it, it involves a lot of the same principles that I was using at Fresno State already. You have to overcome adversity. You have to work hard. You have to work smart. You have to compete. And you have to operate with integrity. All those things. You had to do the same exact things in football. So I actually had a unique experience that prepared me for that. And I had to learn the product. And I had to, you know, learn what the customers needed. And then from there, it's a matter of just, you know, working your tail off.
And I think you drive your tail off too, right? What kind of ground do you cover on the road to visit all these clients?
Man, I drive a lot. That's the one thing that, you know, Dad didn't tell me I was going to be doing is, I think 2 years ago I drove like 90,000 miles, but yeah, it's closer to 65,000, 70,000 on an annual basis. But no, you got to go where the farmers are. You know, you got to go where the customers are, and you can't complain when it's time to go. You got to do it.
Well, I just wonder how often when you make the rounds, you know, when you're out on the west side in Fire Bar or Mendota or Las Banas talking to somebody out there, or you're down in Southern California or Northern California or Arizona or wherever, how often does Fresno State come up? And how many of those guys know that you were quarterbacking Fresno State against teams like Wisconsin at Camp Randall and some of those other big games you played in?
You know, some guys don't. Some guys want to talk about it. Some guys want to fix a problem that they have that is really important at the moment. I can't blame them for that. You know, it's like, okay, great. You know, you wore a red hat, but I've got a big problem here and I need somebody to help me. Can you or can't you? You know, it's just like, so you got to be prepared to work on things. And it's fun when people do want to talk about it. I have a few customers that are sad to know them, but they are Cal Poly graduates. And I like to remind them of the shellacking that Fresno State gave them back in the day just to keep them in line every once in a while. But other than that, we usually have a lot of fun with just bantering a little bit.
Well, and since your dad's here, we should also mention that I believe you quarterbacked Fresno State to a 51-0 win over UC Davis, did you not?
Yeah, very, very satisfied with that with that outcome.
No wonder he makes you drive so much.
We were all in class.
No comment.
Well, maybe you both could chime in on this, because, Ryan, you had your wife here, Alana, and I had Josh Lavendera on earlier. His wife is Rebecca Witt, Becky Witt of Fresno State softball fame, a national champion and All-American. They met at Fresno State. Have you ever thought about how different your life would be? You were pushing your three boys around the World Ag Expo all morning long. How different would your life have been if you had not chosen Fresno State as your college?
You know, it's interesting to think about. I mean, I could have gone to a couple other places, but I grew up from a young age, and I contribute that to my dad. I grew up from a young age really enjoying Fresno State athletics, and that gave me a love from a young age, and I hope my boys have that same affection. And it's been great staying close, being able to be around a ton of family, a ton of friends that you can enjoy talking about memories. I didn't go to some college across the country and, you know, maybe had some success but can't share it with anybody. So, you know, for me it's been a joy to see a lot of the people who I grew up with, to laugh, to talk about some fun memories, and then to get back to work, and we're all in the same community in at least the greater sense together. So I've really enjoyed that. And my boys love, you know, wearing my old jerseys and going to games and doing that stuff. And I'm really thankful that that's where I was able to play. And I always appreciate the opportunity. I remind Pat of that I appreciate the opportunity to come play.
Well, he'll be here tomorrow and spend some good time with us. Ron, you looked like you wanted to chime in on that topic.
Yeah, you know, I've had quite a few parents come to me and go, talk about recruiting the process and my kids are this and that. And I've over-exaggerated, you know, as a bulldog to be a bulldog, and to, you know, don't under-emphasize or don't under-value the playing local part and having your family. I mean, we had 100-125 people come for every game and tailgate, and you know, it was just a blast. But if you're a great athlete in Fresno or the Valley, stay in the Valley, because your family, it'll mean a lot to you down the road. Being able to share that experience, you think, oh yeah, we'll travel, whatever, but especially if you have other kids, you know, and you got kids playing football on Friday night and you've got to try to get across the country on Saturday, it's a big thing, you know. So, I mean, it's a it, – I really – I have told probably 100 different people that have asked me over the years, it's just stay local. I mean, it's great quality football. It's a great university. There's no reason to leave. You'll get whatever exposure you're going to get, whatever level you're going to get, you have the same opportunity here.
Well, and in Ryan's case, you know, he wouldn't have met your daughter-in-law, Alana, who was there playing volleyball for the Bulldogs the same time he was playing football. And, you know, she's got with her right now, but you're with her.
There's her excavators or forklifts. My second boy, Hank, loves anything with a motor. He climbed up on a forklift, and the man there said, "Do you like that tractor?" And he corrected me. He's 2 years old. He says, "No, that's a four. This is a forklift." So don't try to pull a fast one on him. Real quick though, Paul, I would just echo what my dad said. If you have an opportunity to play Division I sports and you are from the Fresno area or the Valley area, I would encourage you to strongly consider being a Bulldog, because we do play the best schools in the country. You play the top. I don't care what emblem is on the side. You play really good athletics. And if you want to be, if you want to see Fresno State continue to succeed, well, then you need to offer what you have there. Do it in front of your family. Do it in front of your friends, and have some great memories. Some of my best memories are looking up and seeing the people who cared about me in the stands. So I would just encourage people to consider that when they think about what school to go to.
Sounds like a plan. We're out of time. Ryan Colburn, Ron Colburn, thank you so much. Thanks to everybody who joined us today. Come see us tomorrow, 11 to 2, and Thursday also at the World Ag Expo in Tulare. Tony D up next, and CGP from 3 to 6 right here on the home of the Bulldogs, 940 ESPN.